Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Midan.
Yeah, this is Jeff Ellis, and it's Wednesday, January 19th, 2011.
What was that? Was that Krusty the Clown?
That was a little Krusty the Clown, but mostly it was championship weekend giddiness, Steven.
I've been amped. I've been getting emails from people, primarily Bears fans, saying that we didn't love on them enough. So I'm a little amped at that. I'm going to immediately after the intro music, I'm going to get to that
gonna
right
respond
away.
To that and take, then
I'm
going
to respond to Yusuf. Yeah. I'm going to respond to Nathan. I think it was a little harsh on the post I made at him on our feed from the last episode, but
yeah,
so I might apologize to Nathan a little bit.
Well, let me in advance just apologize for the entire last episode.
Why?
On the off chance that we offended people, which we seem to do regularly, whatever it is that offended you, we greatly regret, and we mean that with the utmost sincerity.
Do you really?
No.
Yeah,
no,
I didn't think so.
But you know, I'm thinking about going into politics.
We did offend one lady, though.
Oh, I know that. That was a couple shows ago.
Did we reply back to her?
No, because I didn't want to.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say, but I feel like I need to send her.
Okay, here's my response.
Yes,
we're guys.
Yeah, but
and
okay.
It was taken out of context.
Yes.
And then she merged a couple things out of context.
Yes.
And came up with that we're pigs. But the bottom line is we're guys.
You're a pig.
Because
you told the story. I didn't.
I told a story, and there was nothing wrong
right,
with my
enough
story.
Enough of that. We've got great games this weekend.
Don't try.
And I am sure that I am going to stick a nail in the challenge game coffin this week.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey will have to wear a Speedo.
And I am confident that I'm going to go 4-0 this weekend.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves. Jeff.
Yeah.
There's the AFC Championship game.
Two teams playing.
And the NFC Championship game.
Two teams playing. That makes four.
How are you going 4-0? Oh, I know how you're going to do it. You're going to pick the winner in each game.
And then the over-under.
And then the over-under in each game.
There you go.
That's the only way you can go
4-0. I was
going to
parlay it with a Pee-wee team.
If you can pick successfully against the spread both winners and successfully prognosticate the over-under in both games and put $100 on it.
Probably win 1,200.
You'd make a little over 1,000.
Okay, it's about 1,200.
No,
that.
It's
a little bit more.
It's 1050.
Just a wee bit more.
Yeah, just a
what
wee
I was
bit
actually going to proposition in is Jordan's winter wood bat tournament against Crescenta Valley High School.
I see.
They're playing Crescenta Valley High School this weekend. So
I'm taking
Maranatha.
I highly doubt
Maranatha in that one.
You could place a wager on a professional football game and on a high school baseball game.
Well, you could as long as it wasn't what it is, which is a preseason winter wood bat tournament.
You still probably couldn't.
Even if it was a regular season
game?
Even
if it was a regular season game.
Wow. We live in the wrong country.
I'm pretty
certain. I think
certain
you should be able to wager on anything.
Because, well, you can wager on preseason games.
Right.
And exhibition games and stuff like that.
But not high school baseball.
No.
Why do they discourage wagering on high school sports, Steven? That's so confusing to me.
It's like they think
gangsters are going to get involved in things like that.
That's what would happen. Guido
would
then start fixing high school games.
And why not?
And there are so many more high school teams, it would be crazy to
police.
Why not
peewee ball? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, if you know one team's better than another team, you should be able to lay a flutter, as our Brits like to say.
Yes.
You should be able to just lay a little flutter out there on the Jackie
Robinson.
I played
peewee football. I was the Longhorns.
Longhorns.
Yeah, I was awesome.
Everybody out here in Pasadena, what's the big team out here in Pasadena?
The Pasadena Panthers.
The Panthers.
Yes.
They've got every age covered.
The Peewee Football League that did not allow me to continue coaching because
you killed that kid. And if you look, I think if you hadn't
not
killed him.
Not true, because I did not have a son playing in the league. So
basically, because you would coach fairly and not have a significant bias and give one kid massive playing time at everyone's expense.
Exactly why.
Regardless of ability.
I was not allowed to coach in that league.
Well, it's that or you're a pedophile.
I took a whole bunch of rabbles
Rowdy Rabble Rousers.
And I guess people would call scabs.
Rowdy Rabble Rousers.
A whole bunch of kids that nobody wanted on their football team. And the other three coaches, they got all their players. They got everybody they wanted. These were all the kids that wanted to play football, but they were either too late signing up or the other coaches didn't want them on their team. So these kids really wanted to play football. So I said, you know what? Let me coach them. I mean, make a fourth team. You can do that. And they were like, okay. I took these whole bunch of kids nobody wanted, and we schooled everybody.
Okay, so you did get a coach.
That was peewee. That was flag football.
Oh.
When they were moving up to the next level.
At that point, you have to be a
pads,
parent. You have to be a parent.
Apparently.
Apparently?
Because I was... I showed up all their other coaches that had these star players.
Yeah.
Who played the star players. And those star players, of course, were their children.
But that's just a coincidence.
Yes.
I mean, don't get me
wrong. And so they decided that I couldn't coach the actual peewee now with pads and stuff, which we would have dominated everybody.
So I'm at the bar at Islands today, have my lunch, as is per usual.
Yes.
Drinking my Diet Coke,
same
by the way.
Same drunk man was there?
You know, he wasn't today, but there was a couple guys on the end. I'm watching Arsenal school. Leeds United.
Dude, ease up, man. Jason Lockenfora, friend
of
the show.
Lockhead and I are texting back and forth.
Yes.
Little light trash talking. Nothing of the order of what went on with the Jets. Nothing at all.
Okay.
This is very polite, gentlemanly.
I would hope you did not call Lockenfora an a-hole.
No, I didn't. You know, the game didn't stay close enough long enough.
Okay, all right.
Around the 50th minute, it was a one-goal game with Arsenal up. And, you know, how can you trash talk when you're playing down a league or two?
Yes.
You know, it's the FA Cup, for those who don't know that. That's the only reason that the teams are playing each other.
And you almost lost it, right?
Well, no, last week we gave up a goal at the end and drew against them at the Emirates, which meant we had to go, whenever there's a tie, we learned this week, and we asked everyone at Sky when we were doing TV on Friday. I said, hey, Arsenal drew against Leeds this week, so what happens? They said, well, they changed the venues, and you play next week again. I'm like, seriously? This soccer stuff's crazy. They play a lot of games.
They do.
And that's why you need a deep bench and stuff. Fabregas didn't even come into the game till the end. But anyways, the point was, I can't be mean to Jason because he's a true fan of a champion. They're not even in the Champions League. They're like League One.
They have Fabregas playing on their team?
So that's Fabregas.
Oh, I thought you said fiberglass.
No,
I'm like, how do they make a person out of fiberglass?
No, I wouldn't recommend it because he'd become Italian instantly and be fragile.
Okay,
Lockenfora and I are texting because he's a Leeds guy and I'm an Arsenal guy, and so that's fun.
You're not really an Arsenal guy.
Really a Leeds guy.
Yes, he is.
He is. He really is. But why am I not really an Arsenal guy?
He
I don't miss a match.
Leeds
I've
jersey.
Got a jersey.
All the time.
I've got a jersey.
You got a jersey because someone gave it to you and they said, follow this team and you'll be against Steven.
But it worked. It worked. And they're a good team.
But you know, you've expressed your displeasure for the team.
I'm not crazy about Arsene Wenger. Speaking of trash talking and things, he hasn't trash talked, but there's been an occasion where he doesn't shake hands after a match.
Yes.
And I just, that's not how I roll. That's not how I roll at all. I think sportsmanship
is
important.
Come on over to the Spurs.
Because Harry always does that.
Harry's awesome. Harry is a great coach.
We've only met his son. We don't know Harry personally.
You're right. And his son was cool. And his son thought we were cool, which was really weird.
That was really, really weird. That's weirder than the guy at the Burger King at the train station.
That was weird.
I know. But when it's Harry Redknapp's boy,
you're
like, you're true. Wow. We
true.
Do get around.
I was like, hey, you guys are the American NFL guys. And he came and shaked me. I was like, whoa.
You're Harry Redknapp's boy.
Yeah, what was that all about?
Can you introduce us to your dad? Because that'd be cool.
To your dad. All right, let's get to it. I'm going to start off with Doris. Now, Doris.
Doris. Oh, okay.
I usually normally don't get angry at emails. Okay, I get angry at emails all the time, but I usually don't call anybody out on the show.
Not usually emails related to the show. The only emails you get angry at are business.
Yeah.
I mean, those you get furious. I've seen
That's true. And I'm not really angry at Doris, okay? But let me share with you Doris's very kind email. And as far as emails are concerned, at somebody being upset at us, Doris, this was the nicest, kindest email I've ever.
She must be English.
I don't know. But anyways, here, let me read it to you. Doris says, Doris is a Bears fan, by the way.
Bears.
The Bears. And she says, I'm a Bears fan, and I have been a little frustrated at the lack of respect the Bears are getting. I know that the game against the Packers is going to be a tough one, and that the Packers are a good team. I don't dispute that. However, you spent more time talking about how good the Patriots are than the Bears, and the Patriots lost and are not in the playoffs anymore. Was it with five games remaining that Steven stated that Steve stated the Bears wouldn't win another game. They won three. Keep in mind that the Bears have beaten two out of the three remaining playoff teams, and they didn't play the other. Green Bay home game, 9-27. The Bears won 20-17. Keep in mind this victory was before the Bears got their O-line issues ironed out. They beat the Jets on 12-26. The Bears won 38-34. Green Bay's away game, the Bears did lose 3-10. And yes, even though the game didn't matter in terms of playoffs for the Bears, they did try their best to beat the Packers and didn't get it done. Football is usually done in three parts, offense, defense, and special teams. Chicago has the advantage in defense and special teams. Green Bay, the advantage in offense. This is going to be a good game. And at the end of the day, I believe it will be the Bears that are in this, that are Super Bowl bound.
I believe it'll be the better team.
Well, and what I'd like to say to Doris, thank you, first of all, for, you know, being as nice as you can while being
frustrated. A velvet hammer. Yeah, a velvet hammer.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's okay. What I call when someone is kind and respectful but still has a strong opinion.
Right, because I'll take those hammer. Emails.
You're an effing idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
It's those that I really don't like.
Those are the
worst. So, like I said, I'm not really angry with
Well, and those people but never give their name either, Steve.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And they don't follow protocol and give their age and what city.
Doris didn't. I felt that I needed to. Well, you know, it's Doris, and women don't usually give their age.
They can give what city they're from, though.
Oh, that's true.
Is that.
Well, I'd say Chicago. She is a Bears fan.
Chicago Bears fans are everywhere, Steven.
Chicago Bears, bite down. All right. So anyway,
you're just antagonizing.
I'm going to antagonize a little bit because now let me respond.
You might want to fast forward.
Let
your
me
iPod
respond
just
to Doris just
seconds.
A little bit because I felt that since this was such a kind email and she did make some valid points, that I needed to talk about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I want to say it's your opinion that Chicago has advantage in defense and special teams because I don't see that.
Special teams, I do.
Hold on. Would you let me finish? This is me going at Doris.
Okay
thank you very much.
Going at Doris, wow.
Offense, clear hands down. There's no disputing Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers offense superior to that of the Bears. Okay? Hands down. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. Jay Cutler last week, had he been playing even a semblance of a good defense, would have thrown five INTs. Okay, maybe four. But still, that's a lot. He would have thrown a lot if people in Seattle had hands. Second,
people in Seattle have
special
fans.
Teams.
I've
yes.
missed some.
I will give the Bears the special teams.
Thank you.
I will, but I'm not going to give them the defense. The Packers defense has been sensational. They stopped a Mike Vick in Philadelphia when Vick was rolling everybody, and I mean everybody. They went into Atlanta and stopped Matt Ryan when Matt Ryan was killing people at home.
But if you look over the season, Stephen, in all fairness, you look over the course of the season and you take statistics, the Chicago Bears have statistically...
I'm talking about right now in the playoffs.
And Stephen, I agree with you completely, but I want to give Doris some support and say, this is how I got into the whole Patriots taking so long with them, was because I was supporting them.
Yeah, ever support the Patriots ever again.
Well, look, and I'm going to support what Doris is saying about the Bears here. We spent a disproportionate amount of time talking about the New England Patriots who lost. And I would agree with that, but that was some cleanup work because we have long given them the short end of the stick. Not with time, but with our love and respect. And so the same goes true with Chicago Bears. We respect the hell out of their defense and their special teams. I think that I speak for both. What you have this weekend is four of the best defenses in the league matching off.
I would agree.
And you have two of the best quarterbacks in the league matching off. And you have two good quarterbacks matching off. And you really have some phenomenal football.
So bottom line, to finish here with Doris, just remember, everything I'm spotting off, Steven Miranda's opinion. And I'm opinionated as can be. And that's why people send the nastier email version of what you sent me. And I'm just saying, you're allowed to have your opinions that you think that the Chicago Bears have a better defense and special teams
than
the Packers.
Her point
and
was that's we quite spent right. too long.
Now, here's the deal, and I'm just saying to all the Bears fans, just like I said to all the Atlanta Falcons fans last week, come talk to me after the game, even when your team loses. Because you know what? I have yet to get
any kind of email anywhere.
From a Dirty Bird anywhere. I've even posted three or four things on the podcast page in the comments section, trying to get those people to come back. At least say something. At least say, Steven, you know what? You were right. Falcons didn't show up. Say something. And all I'm asking Doris and Nathan and all you Chicago Bears fans is on
Sunday.
Where
are you going to be next week?
Come back and just say, you know what, man? Gloat. If you win, come back and gloat. If you lose, come back and say, man, you were right. And that's all I'm asking
for. That's all we're asking.
Okay.
Because you're going to lose this weekend. I think it'll be a lot closer than some people suspect.
I am not saying what my pick is until much later when we actually have to make picks. And I'm actually going to make you make the picks first.
That's fine. I'm good with that. And if you want to pick the same just to be obnoxious and make sure I get punished.
I think that's what I'm going to
do.
So
be it. If you want to not have a conscience, that's fine. Sell your soul to the devil? That's good.
So wait a minute. So you pick, and then I pick just the same as you just to make you lose.
Pretty much.
That means I don't have a conscience?
Whoever wins the first challenge game
any season.
It's been
2 years since there's been any kind of a challenge game. Challenge punishment? I think the fans want to see one.
The fans want to see several.
They deserve one.
They need to see several.
So I think that we need to give you one.
Give me one, but not you one.
No, because I'm not going to lose.
Well, you can't lose if you pick the same. So,
I got a two-game lead.
So basically, my promise next season and every other season that follows is the second I take a lead, I'm just going to pick the same as you the rest of the year.
Well, you
even if it's week one.
So,
see, I'll just do that the rest of the season, and then no matter what, I win the challenge game. Isn't that brilliant?
Why not?
No, that's called lame.
No, that's called your prerogative.
Oh, to be lame.
So I'm being lame now. Because I am.
You're not being lame now. You're being lame when you follow through with your threat.
I have picked significant enough to have a two-game lead with 2 weeks to go. And so now I'm protecting that lead, and that's being lame.
Protecting the challenge game lead is lame.
That's the team that, you know, they're two minutes left to go. They're up by six, and they're just running out the clock. They're being lame. You want them to punt to the other team to give the other team a chance.
You take a knee as long as you've used up their timeouts.
I'm taking a knee then. I'm playing pretty smart, I think.
This is not the game of football. This is called
a challenge game.
This is the drama of challenge. And challenge has not been defined in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
It just keeps getting modified more and more to say, if this person gets hurt, then obviously the game doesn't count. And we've just weenied it down is what we're doing. If you want to continue to weenie it down some more.
I'm not weaning it down. I'm making picks, and I'm going to, you know, if you make a pick and they just happen to be the same, what are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'll use my prerogative and I will change my pick right up to the second of kickoff. Right as the ball's about to kick off, I will do it. And then boom, that's the challenge game.
Okay. You know, that is your prerogative, I guess.
It always is. That's according
to
the rules.
Then you'll have to go and change the website.
I don't have to do that. All I'll do is let you know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we're all here.
Let's get to some NFL news, Jeffrey.
I think we got to start at 230 Park Avenue, where Roger Goodell and Demarai Smith are meeting right now.
NFL news.
And Demarai Smith, by the way, his friends call him D, and since his name's so hard to say, I think we should become friends with him. Then we just call him D. Smith.
Will he be at the Super Bowl?
Oh, I'm certain of that.
Because according to President Obama, he will be at the Super Bowl if the Bears are in the Super Bowl.
That's cool.
That came out today.
Playing the Chicago
and
card.
It would be the first time ever a sitting president goes to the Super Bowl.
Well, then in that case, I am going to maybe even root hard for the Bears. Not because I want to meet the president or anything like that. I think that's Trey cool. I think the fact of the matter is in America, we need this pendulum to swing where America is, or baseball is America's pastime.
It isn't.
But football is America's passion. Okay? America's passion is the NFL. And to have a president who can go out and play hoops, which we've never had a president who can go out and play hoops.
And play well.
Exactly. Play very well. And is interested in coming to a Super Bowl. Instead of going to World Series Game 3, woohoo! I'm sorry. I've never been to a Super Bowl, but I've been to a lot of World Series games, and I suspect Super Bowl's a lot bigger deal.
Yeah, I'm
and given the
sure
number of viewers that tune in for this spectacle, I'm asking what on earth has been wrong with every president we've had up to this point that he doesn't go to the Super Bowl. I mean, because, dude, you got perks when you're the president.
I'm pretty sure Super Bowl one probably wasn't, you know, that big.
Super Bowl one wasn't. It was played at the LA Coliseum.
There were. Have you
Super
seen
Bowl
the
two
picture?
Wasn't
have
that
you seen
big.
The picture? There's a photographer that's been around. You know, he does a lot of sporting events.
Uh-huh.
I forgot the name of the photographer, which shame on me.
Bob Henderson.
Maybe. I don't know. He's been at every. He's photographed like every big Muhammad Ali standing.
Yeah,
standing
that's okay. His photo.
Okay, that's his photo. So he was at, you know, Super Bowl one. Took a picture from the stands of the feet of the coin toss. There were two captains for each team.
Yeah.
There was an official, and there was an NFL representative. That's it.
Well,
then he went to Super Bowl 40. So 40 years later.
Oh, my gosh.
And the sea of humanity
on
the
football
field.
It's the people that were in Lincoln's room when he died. I've, you know, because if you go into, if you go to Lincoln was killed, D.C.? Anyway, you go to the street where Lincoln was killed, across the street from Ford's Theater.
Yeah.
And they actually have the room there as it was when Lincoln was killed.
Okay.
And you see these paintings. As time would go on, more and more people are by the president's side when he dies. And at one point, it's freaking, it's bigger than the Last Supper. There's 25 people in the room. And this room is like 10 by 11.
Right.
You're like, where would all these people actually fit
in
here?
I don't think they
would. The painting just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
I don't think somebody
would
have actually been able to get into the room to shoot the president had all these
people
been in
there. But by Super Bowl 100, Steven, there will be a million people at the coin toss.
I couldn't believe it. And the cool thing about what this photographer's name again?
Biff Henderson.
Okay, Biff Henderson. What he did
he's
is
a guy
he,
for late
he did
he's,
another boxing.
I just
he did
this
another
up.
Another. Oh, okay. So you're lying to me.
Yeah,
about the dude's
just
name.
To move
okay,
on. Yeah,
thanks. So he did also. You know, he shot that Muhammad Ali
right.
Picture. He went to
one.
Another boxing match and was able to almost duplicate that picture with that boxer.
I believe
at the time.
It was Sonny Liston that was on the mat on the canvas. I believe. And
you're
Muhammad's
probably
standing,
right. Standing
over him,
him like I'm gonna kill you.
By the way, saw The Fighter. Great movie.
Okay, so he's done all this, but the Super Bowl one was just. Eye-opening. It's the Super Bowl one, Super Bowl 40.
How crowded was the Coliseum is my question for Super Bowl one.
It looked pretty packed.
Was it?
It looked pretty
okay.
packed. Yeah.
Just curious what kind of crowd that they were able to draw for an AFC.
Obviously the,
or
the
AFL
clothing.
NFL championship.
The clothing.
Love
at the,
period clothing.
At the stadium. I'm like, huh, people don't dress like that anymore.
Well, I love, that's why I love looking at old baseball footage where everyone's wearing a tie
yeah.
and everyone's
yeah.
wearing a hat.
Yeah.
I love that.
People don't dress like that anymore.
No.
Anyways, let's get to the commish and DeMarcus Smith.
Since we're buddies.
Yes, they were talking and nothing's going to happen. And you know what? I've decided I am going to humnumba whole CBA talk.
CBA
can I do
being
that?
Humnumbed.
Can
well,
I just,
at least
I don't want
after...
to hear about it until after the draft. Because then that's when it's going to start to matter.
Become relevant.
When do you, we just drafted these guys, but we can't really talk to them until there's a CBA. That's when it starts to get important and free agency comes about, and that's when it's going to start to matter. Right now, I'm focused on the Super Bowl and championship games, man.
Union Sports spokesman
okay,
George Atala characterized Wednesday's session between Goodell and Smith as, quote, an effort to advance the bargaining rather than formal negotiating towards a new labor contract. Greg Aiello declined to comment via email and indeed would not even confirm that the two leaders were meeting. But
he confirmed that on Twitter though.
He did
send out a tweet.
This
saying,
is as of 11:20, and so this was 3
okay.
hours ago.
Well,
so
yeah,
he confirmed. Maybe he's waiting for them to finish. But anyways, glad that they're meeting. Enjoy Peter King's column on Monday where he said basically, remember that the deal isn't going to get done in the big meeting rooms. It's going to get done in the small meetings. But you have to have the big meetings in order for the small meetings to take
place.
Yeah,
you know what? This is turning out to be...
just what I thought it would. How about you?
A big... you know, there's 32 skajillion bajillionaires
right.
that can't agree how money's supposed to be divvied up.
Exactly.
And so what they're deciding is, you know what? Let's make more money.
Right.
And then we can divvy it up how we want.
Yeah.
And that's what the problem is.
Carving up the spoils of war is usually messy. And we just hope that someday, Steven, we can have so much money that we can argue about that. I get $3 billion. No, I get $2.8 billion. Gosh. That would be a fun argument to have, Steven.
It would, but dang.
Because I hope that at some point some lawyer would be slap me and go, dude, you're talking billions. Just shut up and sign.
It's not 2.8 million, 3 million. It's 2.8 billion, 3 billion.
I was trying to contextualize.
Well, but now
Jordan,
that I think about that, that's 200 million. That's a lot of money.
And you can't spend 200 billion in your life? You're pretty sure you're going to need that extra?
It's 2 billion.
You're going to need that extra 200 million?
I could spend 2.8 billion.
No, most people couldn't.
Okay.
Most people couldn't.
But most people are not Steven Miranda.
Thank God for all of us. Except for the global economy. Steven would certainly give a boost by spending his way out of
this. I would spend my wealth.
That's right. And I'm
because you know what, Jeffrey?
Tax.
I'm
yeah.
sure you've heard of this. You can't take it with you.
You can't, but you can put some of it in the casket. just saying, you can.
And then you encourage grave robbers.
Wow. Wouldn't it be cool if somebody dug up my grave?
There's $2 billion in there.
I mean, that's when you know you've arrived, when people actually dig up your grave. Write that down, Steven. That's a lame joke that
it
I know
is
in there somewhere.
Somewhere.
That is when you've arrived.
You know you've arrived when someone digs up your grave for money.
You know that President Lincoln, he was moved 3 times. His body was moved.
Really?
Which is just ridiculous.
Because people kept trying to dig it up?
Grave robbers.
Yeah.
Would come around, which is just, why would you go and, now I'm a big fan of, True Grit. We enjoyed very much.
Yes.
And, you know, the young girl in there spending the night at the mortuary.
Yeah, that was creepy.
It was creepy for everyone except for her.
Yeah, she just like, I need a
place
to sleep.
She's a very religious person. She says in her fancy talk, the soul has already passed.
Right.
These are just mere vessels.
I like how she says, and he's like, you may kiss it.
You may kiss it if you wish. You may kiss him if you wish.
Yes, kiss him if you wish.
He is gone.
Yeah.
The soul has passed on. This is merely a vessel. And she's fantastic. And so she spends the night with the bodies. She didn't enjoy it.
No.
But it didn't creep her out because they're just bodies.
Yeah.
So as far as grave robbing is just creepy, though, okay?
Yes.
Even though I don't think that there's a soul inside there,
yeah.
You're still a creepy person.
Yeah, you got to be pretty creepy.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you for saying that.
Thus endeth.
All right, the Rams have hired a
lot of coaching moves, Steven. I'm going to have to play the song you hate because there's a lot. A lot of head coaches who are not out of jobs for very long.
Josh McDaniels is now the offensive coordinator for the St. Louis Rams, replacing the departed Charlie Weiss.
Don't say departed like he's dead. Speaking of, maybe I'm just talking about corpses too long.
He is departed.
Charlie Weiss moved on to an offensive coordinator position in the collegiate level.
He departed.
Which, by the way,
he departed like a dead man.
I'm going to give myself a little woot. I call this a lateral move, if at best a lateral move, probably a demotion. There was something that went on there in Cleveland between Todd Haley, or Cleveland, between...
We're in St. Louis right now.
We were talking about Charlie Weiss.
Charlie Weiss.
Charlie Weiss.
Yes.
Charlie Weiss left. Did he take a head coaching job or did he take an assistant job?
He took another offensive coordinator position.
See, this is what I'm saying. There's something. Then this is with Spagnuolo. Something went on with Spagnuolo. There was obviously issues. You do not go from an NFL offensive coordinator position to a collegiate offensive coordinator position. That is a move. That is a step backwards in your career. Now, Charlie Weiss could say, look, I've been an NFL head coach. So screw y'all, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Singletary went and took the linebacking
job. Charlie
Weiss
hasn't been an NFL
head
coach.
Been at the collegiate level?
Yes.
Wow. Well, he's made quite a name for himself doing that, given I don't really follow college football.
Charlie Weiss is, I still think it was health, it was personal, and at the collegiate level, offensive coordinator is probably making a little bit more money.
Could be. Certainly could be. How about my buddy? How about our acquaintance? Landing on his feet up there, San Francisco 49ers, former head coach Mike Singletary.
Oh, yeah. Singletary is now
love it. With Leslie Frazier and the Minnesota Vikings, linebackers coach and assistant.
An assistant head coach.
I know. I love that. That was a great move for him.
So you could be an assistant head coach and you can, work on our defense. And, there you go.
I like looking at Jason's picture there. That's pretty fun, knowing that I was at lunchtime talking smack with him.
Well, speaking, he's talking about a quarterback there. He's talking about Jim Mora Jr. It's actually not Junior. He's just Jim Mora.
Playoffs?
No, not that one. That's senior.
Senior?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is Jim Mora. I believe it's Junior, but I don't think he goes by Junior. So just
Steven,
Jim Mora.
I listened to your bit.
What?
That we did spontaneously when he took the high school
job.
Steve, that killed me still.
Really?
I laughed out loud
yeah.
at a portion of our show. And
well,
it was
that's
hysterical.
Good.
When he went to when he went to that high school in Washington, you're like, high school? High school?
Jim Mora has decided to withdraw his name from consideration for the defensive coordinator positions for Philadelphia and Denver. Both of those teams really wanted him, but he has decided that this time it's not a right fit for him, and he's going to probably stay out of coaching for another year.
Another year?
Yeah.
Because he's been sitting around since he got booted out of Seattle.
Well, it's just 1 year. That was last year.
And then he helped out high school, as we alluded to last
yes.
year.
Yes.
And that was
so this year he's probably, you know what, he's still, you know, drawing some money.
Speaking of Pop Warner. Oh, yeah. No,
I mean,
Seattle's paying
so,
him.
So it's like, you know, I don't really need to rush in anything. I want the right fit. I don't really want to go into a new regime with Denver. And although I like Philly, I don't really want to go into that regime. I'm gonna take a year because, you know, I'm still making like $8 million.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not that much, nice. But he's still making some nice change. So.
It's good to make good bling and not have to work.
Gosh, where do I get that job?
You must have once been great at something.
Ah, let's see. Okay, so let's move on.
I wonder how much the most sophisticated IT support person in the universe could make. Like what the upper limit is.
Upper limit for IT support
yeah,
person?
Including networks. I mean, all the crud you do.
Just everything?
You can administer anything on the computer level. You can wire a LAN closet. You could
if
run
I wanted
an exchange
to move up
server,
the chart could, and make and become a chief technology officer, a CTO somewhere.
No, I know what CTOs can make.
Yes.
They can make a P-load of money.
Yes.
But I'm saying, no, you're still plugging in people's keyboards and reminding them to restart at least once a month.
Yeah, and it's because I haven't.
I know, because you bounce, and you've been focusing on other things, too.
Right.
So I'm not
I have
saying,
not been moving
like,
up the career
I
ladder.
I wonder how much you could is humanly possible to make. I'm not talking like Michael Jackson's
person?
Personal physician who probably made $1 million a year for giving him illegal drugs and stuff and not checking on him and administering CPR on a bed. Sorry.
You're just talking about just a support person?
Yeah, like you're working for the most fancy firm in the world, and they're kind of fussy people, and so they're just going to pay you whatever it takes.
Low six figures.
You think?
Low six figures. And you got to be like the best, and you've probably have to have been
kiss
there for like 5 years.
Kiss some serious
booty. Yeah.
I mean, no matter what it is,
we're
you're
like
the smartest person
in
on
94
Earth.
Where you got to like, you got to get down on your knee, because it puts the booty right there. That's what I'm
talking
about.
Buck it up. I'm kissing.
yeah, no.
You got a picture of Rob Ryan up there. Either that or some real fat Santa
Claus. The Dallas Cowboys have announced officially
great hire.
That Rob Ryan will be their new defensive coordinator.
I think that is a fantastic hire.
I like it as well.
You know, the personality mix of what they've got with Jason Garrett now and adding Rob Ryan, and he is very much like his brother.
I like the fire, and I think
the little swagger.
He's going to make that 3-4 hum a little bit there.
I would agree with you, Steven. I think he's done a fantastic job in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Ohio.
Not Cleveland.
Ohio. I've got to go. I've never been, so it gets me confused.
Let's just go next year to the Hall of Fame. Let's just do it.
Okay.
First fan. Oh, we already talked about this. President Obama has stated that if the Chicago Bears advance to the Super Bowl, he will be attending.
And I'm saying he should go no matter what, whether it's a Chicago team or not.
And Obama's like, if the Bears are in the Super Bowl, we're going.
We're going. That means Michelle. That means
that
the
means,
girls.
That means everybody.
He's a cabinet. He's going to make the vice president go.
So
I don't want to
go,
sir. Shut up. I'm the
Jeffrey,
president.
This bit of news, which is interesting timing, but the New England Patriots have said that Tom Brady.
Wait. This deserves this.
Played through most of the 2010 season with a stress fracture in his right foot.
What?
That was very good, Emma.
Thanks.
Let me repeat that for you. It was, he played through most of the 2010 season with a stress fracture in his right foot.
What?
Yeah, exactly, babe.
Now, how serious is it? He's expected to play in the Pro Bowl in 2 weeks.
So why
if you're going to play in an exhibition,
why tell me about it now?
See, if
don't
you
get
tell
me
now,
again, because then people are going to say, "Oh,
you
that's why."
So
Steven
long
the
talking
Patriots.
About the Patriots, and they're not even playing this weekend. Well, look, the fact that they have to stay in the news is what annoys me.
And the Jets fans are all over this thing. Oh, yeah, now that the Jets won, here come all the
excuses.
Knee surgery and excuses and foot fractures. And Giselle Bündchen didn't give him a hug and a kiss before.
Foot fracture?
Oh, am I allowed to say that?
You're not allowed to say foot when referring to the Jets.
But it's a right foot fracture.
Uh-oh. That's just a few letters away from being a fetish. A fracture. I want to say this again. The timing of this story is not coincidental, and they are trying to make an excuse at some level. However, you cannot in the same press release say, oh, by the way, he'll be playing in 2 weeks in an exhibition game.
Yep.
Either you have a serious medical problem or you don't.
Yes.
If you have a serious medical problem, you play the regular season like a man. You do your very best. You suck it up. Then you get surgery or you rest it to heal.
Yes, you can't.
You do not
play
in an exhibition game. Yeah. You know how many guys? I heard a player today.
It's Tom
he's
Brady.
Not going
he
to
wants
Hawaii.
The money.
He's not going to Hawaii because he's got, you know, his father-in-law passed away last year. Mother-in-law not well. He wants to spend the time with the family.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yes.
No problem. And he's somebody who's been before. And there's some players that don't like playing in the exhibition game.
Right.
And for Tom Brady, to his credit, that he wants to play in the game. But don't sit here and put the story out here that he's been playing with a broken foot, and it predates his season.
Stress fracture.
Stress fracture. A fracture is where there is a crack. A crack means that it is in some way broken, if you ask me. So a stress fracture means that somewhere it was strained and cracked, which is how I call it broken because I'm not a doctor.
Well, according to Albert Breer from NFL.com, he said that the source who broke this story said that it's not a trivial injury.
Well, it's trivial enough that he can play in an exhibition game, okay?
Yeah, it is trivial.
And, you know, he's still waiting for a big paycheck. So let's just say that this not trivial injury were to get significantly worse. Is the Kraft family seriously supposed to back up them?
I got a question here now. I've got a question here.
Yeah.
According to this report, the injury is why Brady missed practices, Wednesday practices throughout the season starting back in November. I remember him being listed in a bunch of injury reports.
I do.
I remember late in the season. Yeah. Like it is, I don't remember as far back in November.
I don't memorize injury reports going back.
Neither do I.
We peruse them.
Being the buddy. You got to be up on this stuff. He was not.
So
on
you
a
read
lot
these things
reports.
More than I do, and I remember seeing
back
him
back in November.
Late.
Yeah, late in the season, he was on like every week,
and it was always elbow. It was almost Brett Favre like. It was. Yeah. It was foot. Elbow.
I don't ever remember foot.
Well, again,
I'm going to have to go do some research I keep all of
he's
those.
He's playing in an exhibition game, Stephen. How serious is it? This is my point. It's a non-issue. Why it got turned into a
Why
big
are we
story?
Talking about it?
Because
Let's
it's the
on.
Patriots and we love them.
We
or something
we
like that.
Do, I think.
Or something like that.
All right, Jeffrey. This is a time where Rex Ryan says it's the triple chin strap game.
Oh, it can't be personal, so we need three chin straps. Speaking of people, I'm going to give a Patty update. My mom has lost 20 pounds and is missing a few chins.
Wow.
So she wouldn't need three chin straps.
So basically what you're saying is once she gets out, she's going to have a new man because she's going to be looking so hot.
She looks pretty good.
So she's going to have a new man.
She's missing a few chins and she's dropped 20 pounds.
And the man's going to be like, how you doing, old lady? You got some money, too. I like you. What's
and
up?
She'd say, that's where you're wrong. I don't have any money. I live off my son. Sorry.
Wow. Sorry, I didn't mean to get you all. You know, take a deep breath. Take a drink.
It's on the floor. I can't reach. Never mind.
I will take a drink of my water. And should we get to the games?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I enjoyed listening to
and
Pete Carroll today. Yeah,
is I say we spend 15 minutes on each game. So that everybody gets a nice round talk into and everybody
each team or each game?
Each game.
Okay.
That will put us at 30 minutes and it'll be an hour and
we didn't announce the nonsense about the Super Bowl ticket, extra special
tickets. Oh, don't get me because I'm gonna go off.
Well,
this has been a week of me going off. Do it. Talk about the ticket.
Here we go. It is time for the story that's gonna make Steven go off.
Warning, warning, warning.
All right, if you want to attend Super Bowl 45 at Cowboys Stadium, but you can't get a ticket, the league is looking for you, friends. NFL will sell a $200 ticket to the game.
$200?
$200 ticket to the game, but it comes with a small catch.
What is the catch?
You will have to sit on the grassy knoll out the east side of the stadium and watch the game outside on an HD TV.
What?
That's right. For $200, you can sit outside the stadium and watch it on a big TV.
What?
So wait a minute. That's right, Emma. Hold on one second, because I got a question, too. And my question is, I'm going to give you $200.
Yes, that's right. And I'll take your $200.
And all I get to do is watch it on a big screen TV?
Exactly. Thank you for your money. Enjoy the stay.
Why wouldn't I watch the game on my own big screen TV?
Why do people go to parking lots and tailgate and not have tickets and sit in the parking lot and watch the game on a small TV? Why do people do that?
Because it's fun to tailgate.
Well, this is going to be like that, only you get to sit on a nice grassy hill.
But you don't get the tailgate.
I bet they'll sell beer. I bet they'll have a lot of concession sales.
So this isn't like the Cowboys party pass where you get to come in and you stand
it's
in
exactly
the rail.
It's exactly like the party pass, only you don't get to go in.
Wait a minute.
It's exactly like the party pass, just you can't go in.
What?
Look at my face.
I see your face.
I'm making the face that Emma's saying.
The word is incredulity. You're incredulous.
So it's like the party pass.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's $170 more than the party pass.
Well, it's the freaking Super Bowl. Hello.
But, okay. And that's fine. I would pay $200, but I can't come in?
Why should you go in?
I'll stay.
You know how much money those people inside are
paying? Here's the deal. You know what I would do if I were the league? The Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones, with his bright mind, bright business mind, set up the party pass area for a reason. Part of the reason why they got the Super Bowl, for crying out loud, is that they could put more people in the stadium.
They have flexible number of tickets they can sell.
I'm not saying $30. I'm not saying $200. But maybe what's the cheapest face value ticket? Is
heck
my first
if I
question.
Know. I don't even. I'll look
cheapest
it up while you talk.
Face value ticket, I believe, runs in the $450, $500.
Because I'm not on your network. Oh, damn it.
There you go. I believe it's in the $450, $500 park. And that's upper nosebleed corner end zone. Way, way, way up at the top, okay? I'm saying $250, $300. I would pay $300 to come and stand and lean up against the nice little leaning area that the Cowboys have built in their party play areas. And I'm just saying, do it for the second and the third level. You don't even have to do it for the ground level one. Mm-hmm. Do it for the second. You sell probably, and I'm not saying go crazy like the Cowboys did and have eight deep. You know, do it one deep, maybe two deep.
We were eight, and there were 16 people behind us.
There's a lot more behind us, right. So do it accordingly. Have a nice, you know, two deep standing area in the upper level and in the second level and the third upper level. And those party passes would be great. And you get more people who can afford a $250, $300 ticket to come. And I will stand for the entire game for $300. I will. If you can let me in the stadium, and I'm just going to stand over there, and I'm not going to bother anybody. Well, I'm just going to say I was at the Super Bowl.
You're not going to bother anybody. Therein lies the problem, Steven. Yeah. You're not going to bother anybody.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to watch the game.
Let's see. How much alcohol will you consume during the game?
None.
Oh, okay. So what about Joe Average Citizen?
He's going to have a couple beers.
Yeah. And so security is going to – it's a security nightmare, Steven.
I'm sure
a lot
it
of the
is,
concourse –
But
one
come
of,
on, you're the NFL, dude.
We're pulling back the
part of – You do stuff. You know –
Part of the purpose of stuff. NFL rants and raves is that we want to pull back the curtain for the average fan.
Dad, he
and
comes
tell him
out
stuff.
And says some things. What did he say? He comes out and he said some stuff. What did he say? He said stuff and he grabbed the stuff and he said stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm to Bill Cosby.
I love Bill Cosby. Showed Bill some of that to my mom. His new routine that he did on Letterman.
Yes,
showed it to my mom in the hospital yesterday. Did she was cracking up. Yes. She loved this
stuff. So, I'm just saying. I mean, you're the NFL. You do things.
About $500 is
the cheapest ticket.
Yeah, cheapest ticket.
Face value. You know what that ticket is going for right now?
About $3,000.
$2,300.
There you go.
Okay, so. I'm just saying, look, let me buy a $250, $300 ticket. I will stand the whole game. I will be good. I'm going to sell 1,000 of them.
So we're going to pull the curtain back a little bit here on how things work. There is several levels of media access here. But we just got our notice today on the hours that we can pick up the credentials and Woo-hoo! Things like that. Which
straight
cool.
from the airport, right to the hotel.
Straight to the airport. Right from the airport, straight to the Sheraton. It's no secret that that's the media hotel.
Okay.
It's the Sheraton at 400 Olive. I just gave it away.
You did.
It's not a city. Nowhere in there does it say, hey, don't tell anybody about
this. Yeah, I know. But,
and I think anybody who Googles what's the media hotel for Super Bowl 45 could probably come up with a shirt.
I'm going to Google it right
you
now.
Do that. And so here's the deal. We're going to pick up our credentials, and we are going to be it's not going to be included. So far, everything that we're picking up when we get there on Monday is for the week of the game. And the week of the game, we have a special credential that's going to have our photo on it. So I remember when we left Cowboys Stadium or the Meadowlands, there was all these fans outside begging us for our credentials so they could sneak in. You can't even do this with that because they're going to scan it, and it's got your photo on it. So there's no way that they can do that. Does it say anywhere?
Okay, the Sheraton Dallas Hotel did put out a press release that they are going to be the media center for the...
There you go. Public information, $400 olive. And that's if you want to meet the media. Big deal. Where are the players staying?
Some people don't want to meet me.
Yeah, no one wants to meet you.
Okay.
I was working on a song because of something you said to Elena, which was pretty funny, which was... the song's called Don't Call Us, We'll Call You. We're expecting to hear that a lot that week.
Are you going
to
sing it again?
Don't call us, we'll call you. This is for American Idol starting tonight. We're only nice because we have to. Don't call us, we'll call you. So this here's our Super Bowl tickets.
This is where Simon would be like, oh, Simon's
not doing anymore.
But so, anyways, let me explain. That was bloody awful. It was bloody awful. You will never make it to Hollywood.
Ah, sir, I live there. You can't keep me out of Hollywood because I live there. What would?
But you're never going to on my stage again. Please remove yourself.
But I got here now, and then I wag my winker and just say, have a nice life. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's how Super Bowl tickets work. There's approximately 500 pairs of tickets that go to normal fans in a random
500.
Drawing.
500. Out of 99,000. Okay.
Pairs.
1,000 out of 99,000.
Now, most of the Super Bowl tickets, about 75%, are distributed to NFL teams, with each team participating, splitting approximately 35% of all the Super Bowl tickets. So that accounts for about 70% of the tickets between the two teams.
We need to call a dude from Jets and buy some tickets from him.
We already have a ticket, Steven.
Yeah, I'm just saying for other people.
Oh, for other people.
You know, because we could get tickets at face value, don't you think people would love us for that?
I think people would love us very much for that, but I don't think that we're going to... Is that how we're going to cash in our favors?
No.
I don't think that's how we want to cash
but
in
maybe,
our favors.
Maybe this year. You know what? And you know what? We have a big, huge contest for them.
Mm-hmm.
That is a spectacular contest.
When organizations like Pepsi and thing offer two seats to the Super Bowl,
yes,
I think they're doing something. And that's part of their partnership with the NFL that allows them to have these tickets. I don't think they pay for them, but they get them directly from the league.
Yeah,
and here's the batch that they get them from. The remaining 25% of Super Bowl tickets are controlled by the NFL and distributed primarily to NFL-affiliated companies. The network broadcasting the Super Bowl, in this case, Fox.
Yes.
Corporate sponsors.
We're not associated with them.
We're associated with Fox because Fox is owned by News Corp.
Well, then what's
Sky
let's get on
owns
the phone
News
with Sky.
Corp.
Let's get on the phone with Murdoch. What's up?
News Corp owns Sky. I misspoke.
Yes.
Got that backwards.
Don't misspeak ever again.
Yeah, exactly. So corporate sponsors, media, VIPs, charities, fans, and the host committee to package with the sponsorship. So there you go. That is how tickets for the Super Bowl are handled.
Wow.
So basically, your best chance of getting in is to know somebody who works for Toyota or General Motors or Pepsi or Coors.
I mean, that's the final season of Coors being a sponsor.
There you go.
There's a new alcoholic beverage sponsor starting next year.
Ah, new Cerveza sponsor of choice.
Which is why we need to maybe call Coors.
Yeah, exactly. You got some bling hanging around, and we need some bling. What a coincidence.
You got the bling. We got the bling, and we will give you. As a matter of fact, I will start drinking beer. I don't ever drink beer ever. I haven't even drank beer ever in my life.
I learned.
But for you, Coors Light, every show. Because that's what the guys from Dignation do. You know, every they pop a beer.
Yeah.
And that's the sponsor.
Is it?
Yes.
Didn't know that.
That's how they start their show.
They to drink beer. I know they drink beer on
air.
The show.
Yeah.
I know they drink beer on the show. It's not TV, dude. It's called the internet.
Yes, it is.
And I like
their
show.
We should do the same thing. Just pop a Coors Light.
I'd have to drink Coors Light, though.
Jeffrey?
Yeah.
They're giving us money.
I love me some Coors
Light. There you go.
Now, let me tell you, the worst beer in the world. Now, this is not for the young people. Wait. Oh, shoot.
Oh,
Anheuser-Busch is
calling. I'm telling you.
They want to give us more money.
Hold on.
That wasn't. It was President Obama again making sure we give enough love to the Bears.
Yeah, I know. When the
For Pete's sake.
The president of the free world gives you a call and tells you, you better cover the Bears more. There's issues.
You got a Daley as your chief of staff. You got Chicago all over that White House. Your ability to influence the outcome of the game, trust me, will happen.
So maybe I need to change my pick to the Bears?
If you know what's good for you. Wow. Otherwise, a guy named Biff will be out here to break your kneecaps.
Why has it got to be Biff? This is like the fifth time you said Biff today.
Now, first I said Bob Henderson.
And then you said Biff Henderson.
Rocco.
Henderson?
Henderson.
All right.
Okay, let me finish my little tangent. Let me finish my little tangent about it. So here's the credentials that are given out. So we've got week of game credentials, and those expire like on Thursday.
Yes.
And then you have to go back to the Sheraton.
That gets you to all of the media events throughout the week.
And there's a billion of them. And it gets you to all that stuff.
All the
press conferences, which are like going on constantly. Then you have to go back to the Sheraton and check in again with your favorite ID of choice. And then you get your game day credential that works for the weekend. That gets you in through Friday, Saturday. And that puts you somewhere. You may be on the concourse, which is one of the reasons that they can't just sell the concourse seats.
Okay.
If I think the bottom of the totem pole for media access is that you get to wander the concourse.
All right.
Which isn't us. No. We're good because we're working press.
Okay.
And since we're working press, we have to have a place to work.
Okay.
We have to actually have a table and an internet connection and, you know, a place to write down.
So we might not actually be able to see the game?
No, we'll absolutely see the game. We're above the people who walk the concourse, Steven.
But what if we're in a room with no windows out to the stadium?
That wouldn't be really a good working press room, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
Because then there's finally...
Isn't there one of those rooms,
though? Then
there's
print. We've been in the press box, Steven. It's ginormous.
It is, but I'm just saying it's going to be ginormous, the amount of people that are going to be there.
Yeah, but we're going to be sitting with our friends from Radio Nippon and what's her name? Sains from...
Azteca.
Azteca.
Yes.
TV Azteca. We're going to be sitting with the same old folks that we're always sitting with.
Apparently... I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you did talk about
it, I did bring it up.
So Yusuf threw me under the bus, basically, that had it been the New England Patriots who did that to Inez Sainz, I would be ranting and raving about that organization. But since it was the Jets, I took it easy on them and said that Inez deserved it because of the way she dressed. Is that really what happened?
That's absurd.
I got to go back and listen to those shows now because
that's just simply absurd.
I'm pretty sure
it didn't matter what team it was.
Yeah.
The fact is, she dresses extremely provocatively, and she would dress extremely provocatively no matter where she was going.
And
what she was doing.
The first thing out of my mouth was, I don't condone any of the catcalling. But
in fact, I probably because I took it in a fun direction, and I need to write that down in my little joke notebook. I don't go in for catcalling. I prefer people to do like giraffe calls or something like. And I took it in a comedic because I thought it was funny, the whole catcalling idea. And no, we don't approve.
Sometimes you should write it in your notebook before you say it on the show.
Why?
And then you could give me your notebook, and I could go through your material. Like I could.
That sucks.
I could. Just
you don't
say,
know what I was going to do with it.
Don't say this. This right here that you wrote down?
It's not funny.
No, it's not going to work.
But you don't know once I get done. Those are just the raw ideas.
That's the raw idea, yeah.
And then they got to get developed. They got to germinate.
Well, don't use the show to develop it. Germinate it somewhere else.
This is where I live, though. This is my life.
All right.
Okay.
Can we get to the game? It's game time. And when it's game time, it's
pain
time.
Woo-woo! Terry Tate.
Huh? I haven't seen Terry Tate in a while. You know what would
Jordan
kill me?
Showed me recently.
Is if they had a new Terry Tate commercial for the Super Bowl, man, that would be all anybody talked about.
The only more cake you're getting is pancake. And I tell you, you won't want seconds of that.
Terry Tate off as linebacker, man.
That cake don't have your name on it.
You kill the Joe,
you make some more. Come on, man.
Oh, good stuff. Can we get to the games now?
I suppose.
All right. We'll start off with the early game as the Green Bay Packers travel to Soldier Field to face the Chicago Bears.
Now, early is a relative concept here because early means that we're talking Sunday at noon. Okay.
Well, that is early.
But that is unusual for
because
a Sunday
kickoff.
Because
it's usually kick-off. Sunday at 10 a.m., right.
On a normal given week of yes. football, but this
is
championship
a normal
weekend.
Game?
Oh, no, this is the no. most abnormal game we've ever had. So, Steven, it's time for, I'm going to make you do it all. It's time for Guess That Line, baby.
Guess,
guess
the line.
That Line. We're, well, we only got two games, so.
Well, we talked about the line already.
But perhaps it's moved.
Okay, well, I don't think it's moved that much.
It has moved.
I'm going to say Packers -3.
And it is now Green Bay -3.5.
Okay, 3.5. It was 4.5 when it started.
Over under.
The over and the under in this game is probably going to be 47.5.
43.5.
Wow, they're expecting low points. Is it going to be freezing? Snow?
No
rain?
Snow. No
hail?
Sleet? No hail, but cold.
Cold.
Cold. And again, because of the proximity to Lake Michigan, you never
I'm
know when
over
you're
going
to get
game.
Lake effect
43?
Snow.
Are you kidding me?
43.5.
Do you know
half.
What these two teams scored last week?
What did they score last
these
week,
these two
Steven?
Teams combined last week scored over 80 points.
Now, neither of them played each other on defense, and
no.
both teams sport very, very different defenses than the teams they played. Atlanta,
true.
We thought, had a bit of a defense. Seattle, we knew, didn't have a defense.
I think that low of a score, people are remembering the last time at the final game of the season they met, it was 10-3.
And what do these teams average points per game? These teams average 20 or less points per game. These two particular teams.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
As far as scoring. So what's the line?
I'm going to have to look at my analysis page.
Well, we should look at the analysis page no matter what because this is important stuff. Average points per game. I think the Bears are at 20.3, and I think the Packers are at like... Packers got to be the
Packers are at 24.2, and the Bears are at 20.9.
20.3 is 5.6. That's pretty sweet. Okay. So and you add those up, and what do you get?
You get 45.1.
And the line's 43.5, and these teams are playing each other, and they both are pretty terrific on defense.
It's going over, man.
Steven insists it's going over. I got that. I'm not as aggressive as saying that it's going to go over, and I do think this is going to be a very close game. I don't think this is going to be a one-sided game. It's going to be close.
It's going over, man.
Game over, man.
Game over, man.
Is that what you just been waiting for?
No, no.
That's
here.
It, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Going over.
All right. Now, first of all, the Green Bay Packers should make sure that they don't take the Chicago Bears too lightly.
Do not kick to Hester. Do not kick to Hester.
Yeah, if you remember, I think it was, what, week four when they
yes.
played in Green Bay.
He
they decided
to kick to Hester.
Hester.
Don't do it. Do anything, man. Give him the ball at the 40, but don't kick to Hester.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You're getting the ball at least at the 40 no matter what. So you might as well get it there where it stopped instead
about,
of where it's still
how about
rolling.
Kick it out of bounds.
That
and
gets
on a,
it
on
to
a kickoff,
you. Okay.
On a kickoff, kick it out of the end zone.
What if your kicker's not good enough to do that?
Find a way.
Hire somebody this week.
Put
an ad in the penny saver.
Put a jetpack on his leg so that he rockets it out of the stadium during kickoff.
I want to see him fall flat on his back. His leg goes, bam!
Knocks it out of the back, and then on punts, angle it and kick it out of bounds.
Kick it
I
out
don't
of bounds.
Care if Dodge and Hodge and everybody out of the punters says, do you know how difficult it is to angle the kick and kick it out of bounds? Nonsense, hogwash, kick it out of, punt it out of bounds.
Not our problem.
And in the end zone,
frankly,
kick it deep.
Don't do it because you'll be really, really sorry. And Hester is the most potent weapon on this entire offense of both teams, frankly, if you ask me.
Yeah. You know what? So
talk to me. Tell me exactly.
To all of the Bears fans again, let me give you some defensive numbers. Because you say that the defense for the Chicago Bears is so much better.
It's the best.
Okay. Total yards per game allowed. The Green Bay Packers.
250.
309.
309. Okay.
The Chicago Bears.
That's who I thought we were talking about.
No, I said the Green Bay Packers.
I'm sorry.
It's 309.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
314.3.
So I went, really?
Yes. So the Packers are allowing less
yards
per game. Now, okay. I'll go to the store.
Let's go deeper. Let's go to passing yards.
Okay? Passing yards. Allowed per game, the Green Bay Packers, 194.2. The Chicago Bears, 224.2 yards.
Okay.
That's a significant chunk more per game. Now, here is where the Bears outdo the Packers. The Packers allow 114 yards rushing per game, while the Bears are only allowing 90. You know what? The Packers don't have a running game anyways. I don't think that's going to matter.
I think it's really important that the Packers have something resembling a running game and that Stark show up and do something again in this game. I think it's hugely important.
Points allowed per game. The Packers have only allowed 15 points per game. That's a touchdown and two touchdowns and one extra point.
Okay.
15. The Bears are allowing just shy of 18 points, 17.9. So for all the Bears fans who are yelling, the Bears defense is better, the Bears defense doesn't allow that much, well, look at the Packers numbers.
Okay.
With the exception of rushing, they best the Chicago Bears on the defensive side of the ball.
You know what's really interesting to me? On that same note, looking at pure stats, everyone should know that a huge part of the football game is giveaway, takeaway differential.
Yes.
You generally want to be on the positive side of the ledger on that and not on the bad side of the ledger. The best in the NFC is the Atlanta Falcons, where they were plus 14.
Yes.
That's just remarkable.
Except in the playoffs.
Right behind them, Green Bay Packers with 10.
Where are the Bears, by the way?
They're down a little ways. They're 4.
Okay.
That's pretty close to neutral.
Yes.
On the giveaway takeaway.
All right. Can I take you now to the offensive comparison?
But you got to also realize how many interceptions, especially early, that Cutler threw.
Yes.
So, I mean, I suspect that it skews more recently to the last 5 weeks. It skews a little bit.
You did watch the Seattle game last week, though, right?
Oh, yes.
How many guys drop balls?
You're talking about Seattle.
Yes.
Defensive players drop balls that were thrown right to them.
Yes.
There was 4.
Thank
that
you.
Were thrown right to them.
Yes. And then there were a couple others
that where they
that
could have
were,
possibly, yes. if they were skilled and athletic, they could have possibly gone up and gotten it.
Okay. So that aside. Now, let's just real quickly, offensive comparison. The total yards per game for the Green Bay Packers, 358.1. Bears offense, 289. That's a big disparity.
I wish we could just do the last 4 games, because that to me is
more
significant.
You know, if I had a lot of time.
If we had a person.
Passing yards, 257 for the Packers, 188 for the Bears. Rushing, they're dead even, 100. Points per game, and we already talked about points per game. Here's the big one, and this is key. Third down percentage conversion. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Packers convert.
Oh, my God.
41% of the time.
Packers 40. I thought it was more like 45, honestly.
41% of 41.
And I'm
going to
put the Bears at 36.
32% of the time.
Whoa! Therein lies the problem.
There's the rub, my friend.
Stay out of third downs if you're the Bears, because you're not that good at it. And the Packers are virtually money, especially lately. Aaron Rodgers is on fire, Steven.
There were several third and longs against Atlanta that he completed a pass and made a first down with.
Wow.
I don't look. Okay, I do. It's like, I don't want to go into this game saying it's got to be the Packers and that's it. You can't. It doesn't matter what you say. I'm not going to change my mind.
That's how I feel, Steven.
But
although I think it's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
Are you serious? I wanted to be. You told me which of the two game championship games I wanted to be at. This is the game
I bet.
This
is it. This is the 183rd meeting of these two teams.
Dude, they hate each other. They
know each other so
well. They're
just
going to look across the field. They're going to hate. It's going to be. But
and they
you know
haven't
what?
Faced each other in a playoff game, Steven,
Packer fans,
like in our lifetime.
Packer fans have asked me, when are you going to give Aaron Rodgers some love? Win this game, and I'll give him some love.
I'm giving him love right now because he's been playing out of his mind.
Win this game.
Steven will give you love after this game. Jeff will give you the love now, because Aaron Rodgers is somebody that, I've heard it from more than one head coach in the NFL. You give me one player to build a franchise around, and I would take Aaron Rodgers. And those guys are not talking hyperbole. They really mean it.
Okay.
At this point in time. Now, obviously, you go back a decade, and I would take a Tom Brady. I would take a Peyton Manning or something. But they're getting on with their careers. They're getting older. Aaron Rodgers still reasonably young and is really probably in the prime of his career right now. We're seeing he is somebody that didn't start off as a great quarterback. He wasn't nearly as good as I thought he was going to be when he came out.
He was on the bench for like 8 years, wasn't he?
6.
Okay. It wasn't that long.
It was 6 years, actually.
Was it 6 years he was on the bench? He wasn't on the
Brett
bench
Favre.
For that long. No.
Look it up. Okay. And when he came out, you know.
You're going to make me look it up? Look it up.
I'm the one talking. Okay. And so I can't do two things at once because I'm not that good at multitasking. I can't even talk multitasking. So Green Bay, I just the last few weeks, what we've seen is exactly what we saw in the preseason, which is that Aaron Rodgers gets rid of the ball so quickly and with such tremendous velocity and then so accurately. So speed, hard throws, accurate throws. The trifecta there that makes anybody a great quarterback. Oh, yeah, and in these four games this weekend, all four of these quarterbacks can take off and run with the ball and are more than happy to do so. That is part of what makes these four games, these four teams, so exciting is that if you shut them down, they may just take off with it. Aaron Rodgers finished second behind Michael Vick in yards rushing as a quarterback. Yep. Most people don't realize that because he's not fast. He's not at all. He's just smart.
It was 3 years, by the way.
He was the understudy to Brett Favre. And each year, he got progressively a tiny bit better and adjusted his mechanics and things. And by the time he came onto the scene as a real starter in the NFL, which is why I wish more and more college players would go the Aaron Rodgers route. Find a great quarterback. Sit behind him. Hate that you're sitting behind him because nobody likes it. Hate it. But learn. Listen to the coaches. And the coaches worked with him. And I listened to one of his former quarterback coaches who just basically said that he never would have been an NFL quarterback if he had not made significant changes to his mechanics. And in the first 2 years, he did not. And in the third year, he did. And that's when he started really, the ball started zipping. Supposedly, and a lot of these guys, when you can hear these balls that they throw. They're so hard. Like when I'm watching Jordan warming up as a pitcher.
Like ninja stars?
Like ninja stars shaped like footballs and inflatable.
Okay. I love Aaron Rodgers.
It's not Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, look, can make any throw.
His balls capable. Make sound, too.
His balls
They just sound different.
Well, they sound... If it's the home crowd, they all too often say, like, oh... That's the problem. He can make every throw on the field with remarkable accuracy. And then he becomes Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Boom. I'm throwing it to the other team. He gets hit in the head. He starts seeing colors that are right. And it's bizarre. It's inexplicable to me. But it is the reason why I will never love him the way that a lot of people do.
He wants your love, though.
I don't care what
and
he wants.
Bears fans want you to give him your love.
I'm not.
Give your love.
I wrote a great column when he was traded that, you know what, teams say, they say you never trade a franchise quarterback. Guess what? The Denver Broncos didn't trade a franchise quarterback.
They didn't?
They traded the quarterback of their franchise. Okay. And I went through the difference, and it was one of the most read articles we've ever had.
Well, there you go.
See,
you are just, you like to spark the controversy.
I like to be on the
forefront.
You're
Mr. Controversy.
I do love controversy.
You are the controversy man.
So, I am taking the Green Bay Packers. I suspect they win by 7 is actually my prediction.
See, you're just doing that because you know that I'm taking the Green Bay Packers, and then you could say, oh, Steven just wants to pick the same as me so that he could be lame.
A, you told me that I had to pick first. B, you told me you weren't changing your picks no matter what. So, C, who cares? Because okay. I'm not gonna go there and say you're just copying me unless you truly pull the 180 and don't follow through on your pick of the Jets, which you've been insisting that you're gonna do.
I've done some research. Anyways, I'm taking the Packers in this.
I'm taking the Packers by how much? I already gave my how much.
Did you? I didn't.
You weren't listening. I said 7.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yes, by 7.
That's kind.
It just seems.
I think it'll
reasonable.
Be a 10-point game.
10-point game. Okay.
Yes.
And you like the over on this?
38-27.
Wow.
38-27 Packers.
I do not believe.
Dollar.
I do not believe.
Dollar.
Dollars. The dollar propositions were going crazy this weekend. How do you plan on collecting from these
good
people?
You still, by the way, owe me $2.
Not from this weekend.
Yes, from this weekend.
Bull crap.
Yes.
Bull crap.
It wound up at the end of the night. You owed me $2.
That's not the way I remember it.
Okay. What do you remember?
I thought we were even.
No, I did evened out with other people.
Okay.
But you, Ed, and Matt, I know who you are, owe me $1.
Okay.
All right.
I'll happily give you the $2 after I get my lunch.
I knew that was coming.
Well, I was waiting
for it. I've already told you about the lunch.
You said it was after the Super Bowl. Right. It has to be after the Super Bowl. Right. And then, you know, what parking or whatever, I'll take care of the parking.
Okay.
It's got to be like $10 to park there. You know
you'll pay me after I pay you, which is fine.
Which is, it's giving somebody a lot more money. It seems reasonable.
All right, reasonable.
Reasonable. You got to say it properly.
All right, we're moving on as the Pittsburgh Steelers host the crazy New York Jets. They're crazy.
Tell me why they're crazy, Steven.
They're crazy. Well, here's the other thing you said. that if the Patriots acted like the Jets and we're all talking and talking smack, that I would hate on the Patriots.
Steven hated on the Jets when they started talking this way.
Yeah.
He just grew accustomed to it.
I did. It grew on me.
It grew on him.
I hated the Jets back when I was like, I couldn't stand Rex Ryan. And now he's my best bud. And if he makes it to the Super Bowl, we're going to hang out. I'm going to buy the dude dinner. I'm going to invite the dude to dinner.
You can't afford to buy that man
I
dinner.
Will buy the man dinner. I will go broke by Rex
because
Ryan
dinner. He's gonna pull the lads from Monty Python, The Life of Brian. He's going to be the fat guy. Mr. Creosol. What'll you have, sir? The regular?
I'll have the lot of it. I'll have the lot. Bring me the lot.
I'll buy him whatever he wants, whatever restaurant he wants. As a matter of fact, invitation. Rex Ryan, you listen to the show right now. You tell me where you want to have dinner during Super Bowl week, and I'm taking you there.
He's not from Dallas. You're the one who should know where the hot spots to eat in Dallas are.
Top of Reunion Tower. There you go. Revolving restaurant. Makes one revolution an hour. Up top.
Top of
nice
Reunion Tower?
Yes, Reunion Tower. It's the big ball. Whenever you see the skyline of Dallas,
yeah,
it's the tower that's got a big ball and it's got lights.
I thought that was a little water tower said like Dallas.
No, that's Reunion Tower. You go up there and you can see. Huh. Didn't I take you up there?
You no,
can see the
you
sky.
Didn't.
You could see all of Dallas. I took Trish up
you
there.
You just bummed me out. You took me to the Texas Books Depository.
Well, I took you there. That's where you
cry.
Wanted to go.
And made me cry.
You wanted to go there. That's where why I took you, to see
ask
the grassy
me if
mold.
I regret going there.
Do you regret going there?
No, okay. But it bummed me out and it made me cry.
Well, the very important man got shot.
Yeah. American history changed.
Yes. I took a picture from it. Did you remember the picture? Did I see
yes, put your cameras away. No cameras, no photography of any kind.
I took it.
You're on the FBI watch list. You
why? Because I took a picture of
that? Ed's up there because of what he clicked on. And you're
he
up
wasn't
there.
Supposed to click on something?
Well, I posted a URL, and you're on your own if you click on it. I mean, you know. Ed was so funny. I know I'm on an FBI watch list now. It's just a gun. It's just a gun. Well, and if it's for sale in California, can it really hurt anybody? I mean, come on. Okay, guess the line, Steven. Guess the line. Come on now. Faster. You're too slow.
Pittsburgh Steelers are favorite in this game. I guarantee you they're favorite
you are
at
correct,
home.
Sir.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be favored by 5.
3.5.
What did it open at?
The open was 3.
So it's
money's
going,
flowing
it's going
towards.
Up. It's going up.
Yeah. Money's flowing towards the Jets.
Yeah, I would flow towards the Jets. My money would flow towards the Jets probably right now.
Okay.
Especially they're starting to get more points.
Yeah, they are.
So actually money's flowing to the Steelers.
Wait.
It started at 3. It's now 3.5.
Money's flowing towards
money's
Steelers.
Flowing
so trying
Steelers.
To make it go towards
right.
the Jets. There yes. you go. The line is always trying to even out the wagers.
Yes.
Dude, saw a piece on 60 Minutes last week. Got 60 Minutes app on my iPad.
Uh-huh.
I encourage you when you get your iPad.
Okay.
60 Minutes app. It's like, I think it might be like $8. But
Steven's
it's worth
iPad
it.
Coming Friday. Although it's not
but
my
it's,
personal
no,
one.
No, I know.
The company's one.
But the apps
but
will
the
be cool, yours.
But see, but, well, yeah, they will.
Yeah, they will.
And then when I get
and then
when I get my
go,
personal one and I get the 2
and when they
gen,
go to moan
iPad
about it and they go to moan about taking away from you, but all my apps are on here. And see, your guy isn't smart enough to know that the apps are backed up to your computer. So yeah. Then he's got to feel really sorry for you. I got all these apps on here that I paid for, dude. I can't just give this to you. Well, I'm supposed to just flush all that money? Oh, never mind. You just keep it.
Yeah, right.
You gonna tell me he's smart enough to know that it's backed up to your computer?
No, but
okay.
Still. But still.
You gotta play that card. Gotta play that card.
Maybe I will.
Okay, so the line on the 60 Minutes app, fantastic, because I like to watch 60 Minutes, yes. But I hate watching TV.
Does the time I've just decided that if it's a show and it has a moving I don't like the show. It immediately annoys me. 60 Minutes, 24, anything else, Sesame Street.
25 or 6 to 4. I thought it was the 4th
anything that
of
has
July.
A clock and a boop, 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 boop.
Saturday in the park. So the line is, love this. So anyway, so they did a story on this big whale sports bettor in Vegas.
Okay.
Guy, typical NFL weekend, will wager close to $1 million.
Wow.
Per weekend. Generally wins.
Yeah.
This is his full-time business. He has a staff of people that work for him, many of whom he does not know their real names, and they're in the casinos, and he's calling them on their cell phones, telling them to drop 200 on this, and he means 200,000.
Right.
He doesn't mean $200. Drop 200 on this. If the line goes to this, make it 300. And then sometimes he doesn't. He knows that the line's wrong.
Yeah.
And he wants to move the line so he can move the line. He'll drop so much money on a game at a particular casino that he will move the line, and then he'll make a bigger wager the way he thinks the line should be. How's that for craziness?
That is pretty crazy.
Surrounded by computers, no one had ever... Leslie Stahl interviewed him and went, and it's just crazy. So, I mean, go out to 60 Minutes. If you got the app, by all means, if you watch the program, if they've got it on their website, I don't know. It was awesome. Taking you in deep inside the crazy sports betting world.
I want to go work for that guy.
This guy actually...
I got a new job.
He can't go in the casinos because he's banned.
Right.
You know, so
I'm going for him.
You could be one of his stooges.
I'll be a stooge.
You sit there in the Mirage, and he calls you on your cell phone, and you make a couple $100,000
wager.
And
then he won't even call me Steven. He'll call me like...
You'll have a code
name. He'll call me Beto.
Beto. Beto, because he's a better.
Yeah.
And it's Beto, Spanish.
Right.
So it ends in O.
Yeah. Beto, put 200 on whatever, and then I'll just do it.
On the Supersonics. Okay.
And then I'll...
They don't exist anymore, sir. They're now the Oklahoma Thunder.
And then I'll take like 200 of my own dollars and put it on...
Just copy him.
Yeah, just copy him.
Because he's making a living.
Until I make enough, you know, of a bank where I can just like, I'm out, sir.
Sir, I just bought your place. I bought your place. Look at the mortgage. My name's on it, you son of a gun.
It's like, Beto, I thought we were partners.
No, we're rivals now. The student has become the master. Okay, what's the over-under on this game, boy?
Oh, this is going to be low. This is going to be low.
Sonny Jim, what do you think?
40.
38.5.
Okay, well, that was
really close. Really close.
I'm going over. I'm going over in this game.
Taking the over on both of them.
I'm taking the over on both of them. That's my parlay card. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a parlay. I'm going to call some people.
Just drive to Vegas.
Vegas.
Matt Greek.
You know, my wife is listening to this like, I will kill him if he goes to Vegas.
She's listening to it, what, on Friday?
Yes. We'll be gone.
We could be gone. We go straight from the studio. High five. High five.
High five.
High five.
No, he doesn't actually hit, right?
He just stops short. Five. High five. It's just a gesture. And we go straight from TV and radio.
And we just drive to
we'll
Vegas.
Be in Vegas by what? Five?
Yes.
Six?
What do we
Six
do on Saturday? Because the games aren't until Sunday.
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to play blackjack.
Okay.
High five.
High five. It's the high five. All right. Seriously,
all right. So Steven, seriously, you're on the wager line here. You've got the over
so
in both
the Jets?
Games.
The Jets are what? Plus, it's 3.5, so they're what, plus 155?
Plus one. Oh, I don't see the Jets.
You don't,
if
you don't
take
have the money
Jets,
line?
I don't have the money line.
Money
I just
line
have,
play. I'll get you a money line
but it's,
play.
For the you could perhaps do the math. For the Steelers, it is minus 110.
Yeah,
and if you go up to 4 points, it's 100. It's an even 100.
Okay. What I am seeing. Dun. Here we go.
That's what you wanted.
Yes, that is what I wanted. Very interesting. Very interesting. So that can't be right.
It must be crazy.
205? Could their money line be 205?
I've never understood the money line.
Okay, so money line is, forget the spreads.
Right.
You're just picking a straight-up winner.
Yeah, picking winners. I like picking winners.
So straight-up winner, and the money line is, it's either a minus or a plus. If it's a minus, that means that team is favorite. And it's usually something like minus 110.
And 100 is like zero. Is that not correct?
Right.
Is 100 like zero?
Minus 110 means that you're betting 100
to
win 90.
To win 90. There it is.
That's the minus 110. You're losing 100 minus 10. If it were minus 120, you're betting 100 to
win
80. Okay.
I get it.
If it's a plus 200, which is something, the Jets would probably be like plus 155.
That's a 2-to-1 bet then.
Yes.
That means I bet 50 to win 100.
Usually that's a huge underdog. That would have been the underdog. That would have been the Jets this
Here
past week
I
against
come
the Patriots.
To wave the day.
Right. That would have been Seattle
to wave
beating New Orleans. New Orleans was probably like a plus 250 that weekend against the Saints.
Wow.
So if you
bet
100.
You really thought they could win.
You bet 100 to win
250. 250. Dang.
Right.
That's good. That's so if you're ever picking the dog, that's the way to do it. You bet the money line.
If you really think the dog is going to win straight out, you bet the money line.
No
that
way.
That is the bet. Yes.
Didn't know that.
There you go. I teach stuff. We teach stuff here.
It's educational in the Nevada state
legal
lines.
Gambling only, please,
yes,
people.
Yes, heavens. Why would anyone think differently? My gosh.
Well, because, you know, there's people and they get ideas.
Jeez.
But that's the deal.
Or if you're in the United Kingdom, Starbucks.
Have at it.
At Starbucks.
Knock yourself out.
Anywhere you like.
Oh, okay. So first of all, I want to talk about
a flutter. Let's talk about this game.
Steelers, all right,
Pittsburgh Steelers are terrific. They have defense. Look, how about this? Three of the last 5 years, I'm counting this year, but three of the last 5 years, they've been in the Super Bowl. Okay, they've got two rings. Okay,
Jeffrey. So I was looking at earlier. I gave you the comparison numbers for Packers and Jets.
Right.
I mean, Packers and Bears. And there was a disparity.
There was.
Let's take a look at the defense here real quick, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Total yards allowed per game on the defense side of the ball. The Jets are allowing 291 yards. The Steelers, 276. Slight advantage to the Steelers. Passing yards per game. The Jets only allow 200 passing yards. The Steelers, 214. Slight to the Jets. On the rushing side of the ball, here's where the Pittsburgh Steelers dominate. They only allow 62 yards rushing.
Yeah, no, that's a sick stat.
That is crazy.
You remember
crazy.
Leading the league last year was a team that may have been the Ravens, may have been the Steelers, but it was 85 yards a game.
Yeah,
or it
was
80
that was
yards
pretty
a game.
Big.
And that was just ridiculous. This is
62.8
yards. Come on!
But the Jets are under 100. They
News
only
flash
give
up for LT and Sean Green and Brad Smith. You ain't going to do a lot of running.
The Jets only allow 90, so it's still under 100, which is pretty impressive.
Anything under 100 is great.
The points per game is what's crazy.
This is what's creepy, Steven, to me.
Steelers are only allowing 14.5 points per game, and the Jets give up 19 points per game.
Both of those numbers are shockingly low.
They're pretty low, but the Jets, 19, that's almost three TDs. That's three TDs you're giving up a game.
No, that's two TDs and
21.
A field goal.
You're 2 points away from 21.
Okay.
That's three TDs. That's a lot.
Against a team, maybe. Their schedule's been all over the place. I'm trying to think of what would skew those numbers. I mean, Indy hung that 45 burger on them, you know?
Yeah.
I prefer a mean to an average, where you actually look at just, because I think you get a more accurate representation. You throw out some of the.
The third down conversion allowed by the defenses, Steelers only allow you to convert 33.5% of the time on third down.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets only allow you to complete third down conversion 37% of the times.
Jeez.
Those defenses are tight.
Yeah.
Sick. On the offensive side of the ball, they're so identical and scary.
I know.
The total yards per game for the Jets, 351, 345 for the Steelers. Passing yards, 202 for the Jets, 225 for the Steelers. Rushing yards, the Jets have a pretty big advantage. It's 149 per game, while the Steelers only rush for 120. Points per game, dead even, 22.9 for the Jets, 23 for the Steelers. They're scoring the same amount of points, dog, week in, week out.
Exactly.
Third down conversion. It's a slight advantage to the Steelers. They convert 43% of the time. The Jets convert 39.6% of the time. It's gonna be a good game.
I'm waiting for the point here.
There is no point. The point is these two teams are evenly matched.
I know what your point is. I just want you to state it emphatically. Yes. This is going to be one hell of a game.
Evenly matched. It's going to be a great ball game. I think this is going to be another 3-point, 4-point, 5-point game. I think the line is right on.
I think the line might be a little high, frankly. Now that it's getting out of the 3-point range,
yeah.
I think it might be getting high. Because that half point can make all the difference in the world. And I do see that, look, what they're doing here, both of these teams are something very, very special. I do believe that the Packers can beat either one of these teams. NFL Network last night did an interesting piece where they played with all the eight different possible scenarios of Super Bowls.
Yes.
And the Packers came out on top in all of the scenarios. that they put out there. And I tend to agree with that right now. It's because how are you playing right now? If the Jets to do this, Stephen, if the Jets are to win this weekend, which is what you have said you suspect, they will have done something no other team has ever done in the history of the league, which is to win this many consecutive games on the road in the playoffs.
Okay.
Right now they've tied the record. And they're doing this with a second-year quarterback and a second-year head coach. That is amazing.
What do you mean? The Steelers were sixth seed a few years back when they won.
I'm not talking about being the sixth seed. I'm talking about how many consecutive games you've won on the road in the playoffs. I mean, or how many games you total.
What I'm saying is,
how many games I guess you've won on the road in the playoffs ever?
Oh, ever? Okay, ever. That's a different. Because
It is. You're like, right. Yeah. The sixth seed always wins same number of games.
Right,
and same it's only happened on one
the,
other
on
time.
The, same number of games Steelers. On the road.
It's four.
And this and the fact that it's going to happen twice.
Exactly.
This year. Okay.
If it does, that's
both
it's amazing.
Both six seeds yeah. are doing it. I'm going on record right now. But just know the Jets.
That if they win this week, they will have broken a long-standing NFL record.
Yeah. Before Steelers fans get all crazy and start throwing stuff
don't
in
the
worry. House.
I'm going to tell you why the Steelers are going to win, so they're not going to have to throw things.
All right, good, because at least one of them is picking them. But here's the thing about the Jets. I feel that I like what your team represents the year before and how you bring it again this year.
Slow the roll.
I like how your team and how you end the season the previous season.
How you finished last year.
And how you bring that in.
And then who you are the next season.
Season is exactly the same. You haven't changed
when
it.
When you see symmetry.
Yes.
From the end of last season into this season,
you
like that because.
Have grown to me.
And you see continuity and, in that. Is
yeah,
that correct?
There's continuity. But here's how you've grown. You got last year, nobody expected the Jets to be anywhere. They got to the AFC Championship game.
But that was a little wacky.
But you know what, Jeffrey? You know what that breeds? That
confidence.
Breeds that not only confidence, but you get a burning desire. Yeah, ticket sales. You get a burning desire.
Hunger. I want more.
All that winning.
That tasted really good.
All that winning was
I
great.
What more
and then when
like.
We finally lost at the end, that was not good. We do not want that again.
Yeah.
I want all the goodness. I don't want any of the badness. And the Jets this year, they came out starting. They started cocky. They started talking smack. NFL Hard Knocks on TV, yeah. All the big drama with Revis Island and him not coming in and being in
I
camp.
Really thought Danny and Woodhead might be just one of those unspoken difference
yep,
makers.
Except
because Woodhead gets
just
caught
for another team.
He gets cut by the Jets,
right.
And that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And then the Patriots are like, this is too perfect.
Right.
We think he's got skills. And he comes from a rival where yeah. we can pick up some intel
and use that against them.
Oh, that will be perfect.
So the Jets are just, and then
didn't
that
work.
First week, we see them live, boom, they get popped in the mouth.
And what did I say to you, Steven, after that game?
I don't remember.
I said a lot of things after
you
that
did.
Game.
Probably, I was like,
especially if you go up to like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
That was an awful lot of things that got said
after that game.
But specifically, immediately following the game, we're in the elevator going down to the press conference rooms. I said, Steven, we may have just seen the two best teams in the NFL.
You did say that. I remember that.
And you're like, let's just wait.
Yeah.
You said, let's just wait.
But what I liked is that the following week after they had the Patriots, it was another tough game
yeah.
at home. And remember, I didn't think they were going to get it done. Remember, that
yep.
was the week where I started my guarantees. Randy Moss is going to go off on Revis Island. Remember that?
Yeah.
And Randy Moss isn't even on the team at the end of the season.
Dope.
But still, there was something about the Jets that were like, you know what? We like the winning, and we're going to get the winning. And now that they've been in the playoffs, I didn't take them week one against Indianapolis. They found a way to get it done. They got the winning, and now it's all winning. And now they beat the New England Patriots. And to them, that was the wall. There's always with a team,
there's
a wall that you got to break through.
The Colts have what? Who is a wall?
They had the Patriots as
no.
a wall.
No. Most recently
they've had the Chargers
Thank
as a
you.
Wall.
And it's like, and if they can't get through that, you know what? That's going to stick you every time.
And now
you have to break through.
Now there is Angels
always had the Red Sox.
Yep. There is no more wall now for the New York Jets. And it's all about, you know what, guys? It's ours. It is ours. And I don't believe that the New York Jets are going to fall short of, at the end of the season, being there and saying, we got all the winning that we were supposed to do this year. And they hold the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season. And it all started during their playoff run last year. Regardless of how they got in last year with the Indianapolis Colts not playing all their starters that final game, regardless of all of that, they got in, they got a taste for the winning, and they're still winning all through this season, and I don't see how it gets stopped.
For the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to tell you a very different story.
Okay, tell me a different story.
They ended the season. Tell me how they ended the season last year.
Very disappointingly.
Tell me about the end. What did the end look like? I don't recall.
Well, the end was horrible. They didn't make the playoffs.
Failure to make the playoffs.
Yes.
And then we go into a postseason, and in the postseason we have a distraction or two.
Just a little.
Just a little wee one. And Ben Roethlisberger ends up being suspended and being a sideshow distraction.
Sideshow Bob. He was a good guy.
And that episode where they spoof the houseboat movie where they kill the people.
With Robert
Sideshow
De Niro?
Sideshow Bob, where he got out. It was Robert Mitchum. They remade it. Yeah, there's a houseboat at the end. The family goes for a little vacation on a houseboat.
Yes.
And there's this creepy guy that's been like stalking the family. And
it's Robert De Niro.
Maybe in a remake, but I'm saying originally it was Robert Mitchum.
Okay.
Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum. Gregory Peck was the nice dad of the family.
Okay.
And Robert Mitchum was the psychopath. And they're on a houseboat, and he's sneaking. And there's a There's a Simpsons episode where
Cape Fear.
I'm sure you never saw the original.
Okay, I never saw the original.
That's what I'm saying. I tend to only stop at originals. Okay. I'm sorry. Remakes. The only remake I loved.
Robert De Niro was pretty freaking creepy in Cape Fear.
You would be shocked about this because this movie came out in like 59.
Okay. That's probably why I didn't see it. I wasn't around then.
Neither was I. Okay. However.
Are you sure?
It was what's amazing. Yeah, I'm not that old. What's amazing, Scott White is though. What's amazing is that
just threw Scott White under the bus for absolutely no
pretty
reason.
Pretty skinny guy. I'm not
I love
sure
you, Scott.
Much left
wherever, if you're listening, man, I love you. Forget what Jeff just said.
Born 59, man.
Okay.
So, creepy. It's amazing how scary a movie could be that was made in 1959 and how graphic it could be.
Okay.
Occasionally, movies were made that's like, yeah, you shouldn't have made that in that decade. You should have waited a few decades. So I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers here. So some bad stuff went down. Big Ben gets suspended for the first four games of the season. He actually got suspended for seven, they got it negotiated down because of good behavior. They start the season with Charlie Batch at quarterback. And most of us said if they split those four games that Ben's out, they will be in pretty good shape, and maybe they make the playoffs this year. They didn't split those games. They took three out of four. They nearly took all four. And this is a team that's confidence has been growing week after week. Ben comes in, takes over the helm of the team, doesn't play as well as he had in years gone by. I think everybody would agree that his performance has dropped a little bit this season. And people are like a little stunned about that. He seems to be taking a lot more hits. He's running around in the pocket and stuff, getting popped a little bit more. The offensive line isn't as good for this Pittsburgh Steelers. So there's a lot of people asking questions. Question mark. However, all they've managed to do the last few weeks is everything they've needed to do and put the pieces in place for a deep playoff run. They've got a lot more people healthy, and that has been a big issue with this team. And one guy, the only fathead I would ever own,
Troy Polamalu,
man.
Yeah, that's all great and fine and dandy, and I hear what you're saying.
Ubiquitous.
But
he's in the room right now if he wants to be.
I watched
if he wants.
The first half right of last you. Week's game.
Yeah.
And I can't get it out of my head.
Can't
you
get
play
it out of
that
my
way
head.
Against the New York Jets this weekend, you ain't winning football.
This came off a bye.
You're not winning the football game.
Now they're not coming off a bye,
Ben,
Steven. They just played last week.
All right. Telling you.
They're going to be ready to roll.
Can't turn over the ball that much.
They cannot turn. You were absolutely right
Jets
about that,
Jets did not
Steven.
Turn over the ball against the Patriots
and
at
this
all.
Is one of the most uncanny. One of the reasons that the Chicago Bears are where they are and that the New York Jets are where they are, despite not being the shiny, pretty teams that everybody wants and expects to see at this point, is because of ball security.
I'll take Bears-Jets in the Super Bowl. I'm taking Packers-Jets in the Super Bowl, but I'd be all right with Bears-Jets in the Super Bowl.
Now, I want the sexy Super Bowl matchup.
I want Packers-Jets.
I want Bears-Steelers. That would be the sexiest matchup I can imagine.
But,
seriously.
If you want some fire and sexiness, It's Packers Jets, man.
I don't disagree with that,
Packers
Steven.
Jets to the Super Bowl, we get all kinds of stories.
Well, that's
we'll
what we have.
We'll be putting videos on the website every day of. So, did you look at what I had? Coach Harry just said this.
I know, Steven. Here's the deal. And we
Aaron Rodgers just said this.
We do need to raise a little bit of money for the Super Bowl because we're going crazy and we're gonna be trying to do a lot of cool stuff. No, we're gonna try and do a lot of cool stuff. So again, the show donor stuff, I swear to you, Steven, you can gouge my left eye out because that's the bad one.
I'm gonna gouge it.
If tomorrow morning I have not updated the show donors list and sent out all the welcome emails. I'm about six since my mom went in the hospital. I'm behind. So that's my excuse.
Okay.
But I swear. Show donors, please step up for us for the Super Bowl because I want us to get a decent camcorder so that we can record a lot of this cool stuff. $600 to buy or 100 and something a day to rent, Steven. Okay? I talked to James last night. What's on the paper? You've got so many papers. It's dark in here. I can't see a damn thing. What about it?
I told you what this was. Look at it for reals.
Okay, yeah. We're not going to do that. We can't do that.
Okay, we can't do it.
We can't do that, but what we can do is that James has hooked us up. James,
so what is James going to help us with?
He's set us up with the best inexpensive gear we can find.
Okay.
The best inexpensive gear, including a nice light from China. He's loaning us one of his lights.
Okay.
So we're not even going to pay for it, but it's this weird LED lighting thing that's really powerful. And all the cables for it and stuff. We need the camera.
Okay.
He don't got that. He's got nicer gear. So this is a good HD setup that's on the cheap.
Okay.
And if we could get some show donor help, that would be really cool and appreciative.
So we're renting the camera from somewhere?
No, we're going to buy it. And then we're going to use it for our various other adventures.
I see. Okay.
So, if we got a little bit of help.
The board sign off on that?
No, we're having the board meeting half it right now.
Okay.
But you and me. Anyways, I'll show it to you later. But the point is, if we could get some little help, then it'd make it a lot easier. And that'd be great. What was the point I was making? Was the sexy, sexy matchup. Yeah, if it's the Jets, Steven, we already have some connections there. We've made friends there.
Yeah, we have.
And it would be a blast. What do I want to see as a fan of the NFL?
Packers Jets.
I want to see the Packers and the Steelers, man. I want to see... Okay. NFL.
That probably would draw.
That would turn on
more than. But you know what?
I think the Jets are going to.
I don't know. Packers Jets would probably draw just as well as Packers Steelers.
Once you get 100 of 100 people in a room, how do you get more?
You can. You find
the
a way.
The Super Bowl audience is what it is, Steven. You can't grow it anymore. The
really?
Super Bowl
then why
audience.
Why does it keep growing every year?
Because people are born. Okay. Seriously, it is the percentage of the population
growth. So all I'm saying
population
is, you obviously can get more eyes.
Now, I am stunned. Every year when I look at the numbers, they talk about this being the most watched program in the history of television. Let me finish.
Okay.
Every year they do this. It was bigger than this. It was bigger than this. Last episode of MASH. Bigger than the last three Super Bowls. And all I think to myself, Steven, you'll never guess what I think. What are those 20% of morons doing who are not watching the game?
No, they don't care about football.
I don't care. Are you a freaking hermit? Go to a party.
Yeah, maybe they
don't watch the game.
Maybe they don't have any
friends. Have some really good dip and some chips and some soda.
Texas Barbecue King.
Texas Barbecue King. Sit in the crappy seat where you can't see the TV.
You can
and
see
just
the
eat.
TV.
I always have a great seat because I'm watching the game. But
Jeffrey,
go to the party.
So
meet
that's
somebody.
Probably what I'm most bummed about, that I won't be hosting a Super Bowl party this year, and there will be no Texas barbecue.
Your house will be hosting a Super Bowl party.
No, it won't.
My wife and your wife are going to do it.
Yeah, but they're not hosting
and
the Super Bowl party.
Yes, they are, and they're going to have my mom
Trisha,
come for a birthday.
She was doing nothing for Super Bowl.
Then it's going to be at my house, and we will, because my family knows that, dude, again, does Dee Dee care about the outcome of this game? No, because the 49ers aren't in it, so she don't care. Does Jordan care? No, because the Cowboys aren't in it. But they know you got to be there.
It's the
you
got to
put
Bowl.
On a party. You got to do it right.
Hey, just so you know, I'm going to be there.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because I have a few thousand people that would like your seat. And they need a photo.
Funny,
they need
only
to look
a
just
thousand,
like you.
Because I've got about close to a million people
they have to get out
who would
here.
Want your seat.
They have to get out to
They have to get to Dallas.
Dallas.
I've already got about a million
people
in Dallas
people
who would
in
want
Dallas.
Your seat.
I don't know a single person who lives in Dallas.
A single person?
I don't know one person that... Okay, I know one. I know our composer, Nicholas.
I was about to say, doesn't somebody...
But he just relocated. He just moved there.
There you go.
From Caltech. I mean, come on.
So you haven't made an official pick on this game yet.
My official pick is the team with the rings, is the Pittsburgh freaking Steelers. Yep. The team that's been there and has done that.
Yes, I said
that about Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
Last week.
I said that last week, and I was dead wrong.
And you said that
wrong
about the Colts the week before.
And I was wrong.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? The logic still holds true. But here's
the
thing.
How many times is logic going to let you down where you're just going to finally just
change your mind? When logic lets me down enough times, I rethink logic, Steven. Okay. But I stick with it until it proves itself wrong. And I think what we saw, remember, I predicted the beginning of this season that the Indianapolis Colts were going to have a fall off.
But you still picked them in the playoffs to beat the Jets.
Until I see it, there's predictions. There's what I think's going to happen. And what I would bet will happen.
Right.
And those are very different things. And so I predicted, however, that the Indianapolis Colts would have a significant fall off this year. Well, lo and behold, they did.
That's due to injuries.
You can say it's due to injuries, yeah, or you can say that maybe Jeff was
when
right
you
because
have your starting
the Pittsburgh
tight
Steelers
end
have had a lot
week
of injuries.
Two for the whole rest of the season?
The Packers, whom I'm picking to go all the way, have had 15 guys go on IR. Okay. There's a little guy named, I don't know, Jermichael Finley that was kind of relevant to their offense. Okay. And there's another guy named Ryan Grant that was kind of relevant to their offense. And you know what? They've moved on without two of their stud offensive weapons. They're still lighting up the scoreboard by going to guys named Jordy Nelson that weren't even relevant. I mean, I'm stunned at how teams have moved on beyond injuries. But when it comes to Indianapolis, it's like, oh, injuries finally caught up with them.
They did.
I think, look, when we saw coaching that was questionable.
When Austin Colley went down again, and after he had come back, he'd scored two touchdowns.
I remember.
That offense had been
revitalized. I saw the collective.
And then he went down again.
Yeah.
And it was like...
It was emotionally a huge letdown
The Jets were then able to isolate on Reggie Wayne, make him irrelevant, and Payne had no one else to throw to.
Tammy.
And people were nowhere around where they needed to be.
Yeah, and they weren't running the right routes. I mean, my God, if you want to talk about things that are funny, we never even talked about this play. When Tom Brady threw his interception.
That is the positive and the negative of Peyton Manning. Because when you're such a perfectionist, you expect somebody to be at a certain place
every single time.
I'm going to
deliver that damn ball,
and
you're going to be there.
And when they're not there,
unbelievable.
Like, how could you not be there?
It's simple. He's not you. He's not a perfectionist.
Yeah. So
he's just good.
Yeah.
He's just really good. So this play I love from last week's game with the Jets and the Patriots. When we didn't talk about this, when Tom Brady finally threw that first pick, it didn't amount to anything.
Ooh, don't get me started.
They went three and I want to go off again on that. They went 3-0. Please don't, because I didn't get to this funny story.
Yeah.
So the Jets take over on offense. They weren't ready to take the field.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. It was right out of a Marx Brothers. Or better than that, the Three Stooges. They were literally running into each other. They were not ready to take the field because when it's Tom Brady, it ends on a punt or a touchdown or a field goal. There is a proper changing of possession.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, interception. Oh, get on the field. Oh, guys. Oh, who's got my helmet?
Do you know who he targeted on that play, by the way? This was
whom did he target?
Part of my rant that didn't get finished.
Okay.
Been Jarvis Green Ellis on a little flare.
Okay.
Who used to catch those?
Wes.
Oh my God!
Welker.
Tell me he didn't change that first possession and that didn't change the complexity of the Patriots the whole rest of the game.
It didn't change the game because they ended up going 3-and-out. The Jets didn't punting the ball. I mean, they missed the field goal.
They were on their way to score a touchdown. They were inside the red zone.
You're right. It was a red zone turnover. And had they thrown it to
Wes Welker, who they throw it all the time,
right,
he gets you 5 or 6 yards and you're still moving.
It's a good point. But again, I still...
The next thing you know, it's like, oh man, we threw a pick?
Steven, I liked our...
When's the last time we threw a pick?
I liked our discussion about whether or not to bench Welk or not. And it was very much in vain of what I heard on Sirius XM and the car on the way here, which was the trash talking, whether or not it's ever appropriate in the league and things like that. And what you had was old school people like Pat Kerwin and things saying, there's never really a place for it. And you had a lot of younger callers saying... It makes the game so much more fun. You know what? There's just schools of thought, is my point, Steven.
Yeah.
And the Belichick school of thought and the Ryan school of thought couldn't be more different.
There was a columnist who wrote, and I don't know if it was on NFL.com or even ESPN for that matter, but I went out to read it because he said my point of the benching of Wes Welker a little bit more eloquently than I did.
A lot of times, professional writers can do that.
Yeah, they do that.
They get time, and they have a bigger vocabulary.
That's true. But he was spot on, I think, with the whole mention of Wes Welker.
It's totally different schools of thought, and the fact that it entered into your equation for a second that how big the game was proves my point that in that old school mentality, it doesn't matter if it's not even the Super Bowl, but it's the Super Bowl of Super Bowls. You still would bench Troy Aikman twice on Sunday if he broke a rule. It's like the magnitude of the game is inconsequential. And Steven, that's the school I come from. I don't think that's what anybody was listening to me.
I'm okay. You break, you get a DUI, you punch, you do something significant that really shames your team.
But it was their personal team code.
And that is what I'm saying is the arrogance and the bunk of Belichick. You break rules, you get disciplined. I understand
that. You
got to
be who you are, though, Steven. If you're the guy who goes for it on fourth and two,
go for it.
In your own end zone, then that's what you do.
Keep losing.
That's what you do. And you know what? If you're going to fake a fake punt and it's not, I don't look at the outcome. I just say, but that's in the character of who we're talking about. And I think that time has had its place. I think it's done.
Yep.
I think we're going to look back in the rearview mirror and say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just like I think we're evolving away from the West Coast offense being the preferred modality, I think we're going in a different direction now as a league. There's ebbs and flows that follow the league. Everyone's going to a 3-4. Everyone's going back to a 4-3. There's things that just change in the game over time, and it evolves.
I just don't think that someone trying to be funny, it wasn't even that he was all that funny.
He wasn't.
He tried. It was not successful in the old school mentality.
You never talk about somebody's family. You can talk all smack you want. Dude, I'm going to take you to the house twice today because you know why? Because you suck. You're a bag of dirt, and you suck. That's all good and well until I say, hey, had a nice time with your mom last night. Boom! Heads come off.
Yeah.
That's where the line gets crossed.
Well, that is a line.
And I think as a player, you better not be talking about anybody's mom. Belichick, he went after Coach Ryan's wife in that sense, and so maybe crossed the line.
All right, is all I'm thinking.
And I don't agree with it per se, but I do understand it because I come from there.
All right.
I come from there.
Yep. Still wrong.
So I am taking the Jets absolutely
what?
In this
You're taking
game.
The Jets in this game?
Just kidding. Taking the Steelers absolutely in this game.
I was like, it's over then.
I can't let it be over. Even if I took the Jets, I couldn't take the Steelers.
Then it's over.
That would be weenie because you believe so strongly in the Jets.
But it could be over. I mean, I can make it be over right now.
It's always in your power to be a weenie. Yes.
You know what? It's so amazing to me
how lame I can be.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't doubt. I totally agree with you.
All right. I totally agree with you,
and so does everyone else, but I think it's part of my charm.
Okay.
If charm were a piece of black coal that you rubbed all over yourself, it would be charming, right?
Okay.
If charm were black coal that you rubbed all over a wall and wrote like the F word with, it would be charming, wouldn't it?
No.
If that's what charm were.
Yes.
If we were to redefine charm.
All right. So we have a challenge game. I don't care because I think it's officially going to be over anyway.
Steel Town, baby.
Jeffrey's taking the Steelers. I'm taking the Jets. I'm going to ride Rex Ryan by three. And you know, I'm going to take the Jets all the way into the Super Bowl.
I believe you.
I'm on the bandwagon.
Which is why it's going to work, because I'm going to take Green Bay next week in the Super Bowl, and then I got a chance to have a null and void. Null and void.
Well, I think at that point we would agree, because I would take the Packers in the Super Bowl. If the Jets are out?
No, the Jets, if they win this game, then it's over. Damn.
Stay with me there.
Okay, but if it is Steelers and Packers, you're taking the Pack.
Yeah.
And then you're going to force me with the Steelers. Erg! Now, for those of you out there going, why is it only weenie if Steven goes along and Jeff's allowed to pick opposite? Why is that not weenie, but this other one is? Because I'm losing people. And the cost of this.
Oh, that's not weenie.
It's weenie.
That's the only reason why you took the Saints last year in the Super Bowl.
That's absolutely correct. When you're playing catch up versus protecting the lead, okay, you got to get a chance to catch up. You got to be given the chance to catch up.
I'm sorry,
fairly.
Dude. You know
fairly.
Who's weenie? You
me.
Are.
Okay. But I'm trying to protect people from seeing any part of my weenie.
Well, don't call me weenie. Just say you're a weenie, and that's what we're going
don't
with.
Call you weenie. Just say you're a weenie.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a weenie.
You're a weenie?
You are.
Don't call me a weenie. Just say you're a weenie. You're a weenie.
Say you are a weenie.
You are a weenie.
You are, Jeff. That is correct.
You are, Jeff. That is correct.
Because now that if I turn that around, see, you just change it around. If I say, just say.
I just said you are, Jeff.
Just say, I am a weenie.
I am a weenie.
Thank you. There you go.
I can play.
You can.
I just have to make you work for it.
It's far too late. We must get going again.
We do. We've got families to attend to and things like that.
All right.
But you know what?
The preview show is over. And after this. Ouch. And after this game? After this weekend?
After Monday.
Do we do anything next week?
Monday is our final show.
We do.
It's our first Super Bowl preview.
No, it's not. It's Monday is always the recap of the divisional.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. It's our recap.
Of the divisional. And then when do we do a preview, Super Bowl preview?
We from the Super Bowl.
What about a Pro Bowl preview?
Yeah, you're welcome to phone that one in.
Pro Bowl? We're not doing a Pro Bowl show?
You can do a Pro Bowl review all by yourself. But we're mailing the gear Tuesday. I am
Next Tuesday, that's a whole week before.
We need the gear to be set up on the following Tuesday. When we arrive Monday... Yes, the first thing we're doing is driving to the Sheraton to get our credentials, and then we're driving straight to your brother's house to pick up all of our gear. Then we're driving straight to the stadium to set up all of our gear so that we can start recording.
We should go to the stadium Monday night at 8 o'clock at night. That's the time frame that we're talking about here.
We need to get our gear set up so that come Tuesday we can start rolling.
We should set up Tuesday morning. How about an early morning?
Whatever beats the traffic, because traffic's going to be a bear.
Yeah.
And we need to get all of our gear set up and everything.
Radio Row is at the stadium?
At the Sheraton.
Okay.
That's my point. Yeah, Media center of the universe is the Sheraton.
Okay.
So.
Ooh, it's going to be crazy.
I mean, the only thing else we could do, we could have the stuff shipped to the Sheraton.
No,
and they could hold it.
Let's not do that.
I think that's a little scary.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a billion people shipping stuff to the Sheraton.
All right. We'll
it's going to be busy. So what we got is we got a Monday show for you.
We both got a Monday.
We got a review show coming up.
We both got the Packers. We differ on Jets Steelers. Jeffrey's got the Steelers. I've got the Jets.
I've got the winning team.
Challenge
Steelers
game.
Losing team.
So he would like to believe.
So I hope and pray.
And here's basically what it comes down to. If the Jets win... During Super Bowl week, Jeffrey will do something fun and amusing for everyone except for him.
Thank you.
Although
I am investing in a zucchini.
Okay. If the Steelers win...
No one should win unless you win.
Then Jeffrey has delayed the inevitable another week.
Woo, 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 woo.
Actually, another 2 weeks because the Super Bowl won't be played for another two weeks.
Do you think I still don't stress about this? Because I do.
You stress. Yeah, I know you're stressed.
I went to the deli. I went to the produce section. I found the perfect zucchini.
Why? You are too much. All right. That's all the time we have, folks. As Jeff said,
sometimes
we come back
help.
Monday with the recap show of divisional championship weekend. That's right. It's championship weekend.
Uh-huh.
And then we will head on out. We'll ship everything out to Dallas. We'll head to Dallas ourselves. Yep. And the next time you hear from us, we'll be in Dallas getting ready for the Super Bowl. Craziness. I still don't even know how we're
wearing.
You know what? I need that line from that thing you do. Do you remember that movie with Tom Hanks?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Right. And right before they go on stage, the Ed Sullivan show, Tom Hanks books the show. Yeah. And they're right to go on stage, and one of the band members looks at the other guy, and he's like, "How did we get here?" And that's it. This is where we are.
6 years of hard work.
How did we get here?
And some help from our friends.
There you go. Help from friends is always good. But that's all the time we got. I'm really excited. Bears fans, I love you, and thank you for listening to the show, even if my opinions differ
from yours.
Let's
give them the pride and joy of Illinois.
All right.
You're the pride and joy of Illinois. Chicago. Say it right. Bear down.
If you're going to give me an ultimatum, I just won't say anything.
Fair enough.
There you go. Stephen Miranda.
Hi, I'm Bill Parcells.
And Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves.
And Bill Parcells.